Hey everybody, Rob here, getting ready for today's episode of The Slop. I just want to give a little bit of a heads up. This episode is going to have probably a little bit more adult content than we normally do on the podcast. So if you're listening with young children around or at work, if you do that sort of thing with other people, then I just want to give you a little bit of a heads up going into this podcast. I also want to thank our sponsor for today's episode of The Slop. And those are our friends over at rockauto.com. Chain stores, they've got a different price tier for professional mechanics and the do-it-yourselfers. Rockauto.com's price is the same for everybody, and they're reliably low. Rockauto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market is going to do. Like those airlines, rockauto.com is for everybody, does not require membership or login. Rockauto.com, it's a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. RockAuto.com's catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle, choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. And best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com, see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Rob, it's a podcast in there. How did you hear about us, Pox? So they know that we sent you amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com.
If you watch BB for the strategy, this is not the place for you to be. So let's have fun, let's get messy. Throw on your unitard and come with me. Welcome to the slop. Now let's get sloppy. Let's get
sloppy. Yes, once again, thanks to Will from America for the theme song to The Slop. And I'm very excited to welcome this man to The Slop for the first time. Here he is, the king of Twitter, the great Chappelle. Chappelle, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for...
Maybe he listens to this show.
maybe not. You know, thanks to Akiva for crowning me the king of Twitter, and then also indicating on our last podcast that I couldn't get more Twitter likes than anybody else on the podcast. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm very happy to be here on The Slop. I came from Two Man's Trash was the last time I was on, and now I'm on The Slop.
So on Renap, what a weekend. What a big 3-day weekend.
A very sloppy, trashy weekend for your boy, but I'm here, you know. They said, who's on The Slop? And I said, it's me. So here I am.
All right, Chappelle, happy to have you back here with us. That we're going to talk with Scott Yeager from the Challenge mm-hmm. Mania podcast. He's going to be calling in about 30 minutes, so we'll check in with him. Chappelle, how you doing today?
I'm good. Trying to stay involved in the Big Brother live feeds. It's getting kind of tough. You know, we're missing out on some of the more dynamic players. You know, Janelle's gone, Davon's gone. So just trying to find the joy in the little things these days.
How are you feeling about the triple eviction?
You know, I know people were saying that Big Brother Canada does a triple eviction a certain way. And then, you know, we do our double evictions in a certain way. And I want drama. So whatever it takes to make this week entertaining, I don't care how they do it. I want it all shaken up. I want them to just put them in a bottle and shake it up. So
yeah.
So I'm excited for it.
No, I'm the same way. I feel like that. I know this concern of like, yeah, it'll be fun Thursday, but at what cost? And I kind of feel like that. But where was it fun? Any other like I will let's cash in on all this potential fun that we might have down the road.
Right. We'll always just have to hold on to that one time, day one, that little tiny veto. Mm-hmm. So for me, yeah, like, let's look forward to it. What's the worst that could happen? At least this way, we know three people are going. Well, kind of. Right. Mm-hmm. So let's hope for the best. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. OK. All right. Yes. And Chappelle, how did you feel about the Dr. Will neighbor twist?
Am I the only one who thinks he looks like an android? Yeah. Dr. Will looks like he's been cryogenically frozen. Mm-hmm. He like came out. He only comes out of his home for Big Brother finales and twists that lead to nothing, apparently. I'm still very confused. Now, he said there was going to be like tons of gifts and twists, right? Where are they?
Yeah, he said that there was going to be a lot of stuff happening, and it's been a very slow week. I don't know about this OTEV that's coming, but I really don't know.
Yeah, I was waiting on like prizes and white elephant contests or whatever, Yankee swaps or whatever they call them. But I was waiting on all that kind of stuff. But I think some people came away with some money.
Yeah.
And Dr. Will showed his face for 5 minutes. You know, how much do you think they pay Dr. Will to come and do something like that?
Yeah, I think he got a lot of money. I feel like he probably got more than $10,000 that David got.
You think they paid him more than $10,000 just to come and say like two sentences?
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
What is the budget? I mean, Jesus.
Spend it all on Dr. Will.
Right. Paul had to come do a whole song and dance number. Wasn't he like tap dancing? And like, yeah.
Yeah.
Paul did the Charleston or something on his season. I bet they didn't give him $10,000. I'm confused.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. I mean, isn't Will local? Couldn't he have just phoned this in? He should have just Zoomed or like.
Yeah, they could have just had it on Zoom. I'm not really sure exactly why they needed to have him come in. Let me ask you something else, Chappelle. So I've been looking at Dr. Will. Okay, here's Dr. Will on Instagram. And you mentioned he's got a unique look now, Dr. Will. And so here's a couple of shots from Dr. Will's Instagram. Here he is. He's wearing the robe here. He's winking one eye here. And then this other Dr. Will picture, he's winking the other eye. Is Dr. Will winking a thing?
Famously, I can't wink both eyes.
Yeah, very famously.
And so yeah, like that's why my claim to fame is that I can only wink one eye. So I'm very impressed that he was able to wink the other one. But
So you can only wink one at a time?
Nah, zoom out. We're not doing this today.
You have one eye that doesn't close on its own?
I can only snap with one hand too. So if you really want to just make me look bad. But no, I think that's Dr. Will's thing, apparently. You know, he looks laminated.
Yeah, laminated is a good way to describe him.
He looks, yeah, he's very shiny, very sparkly, like an Edward Cullen type book. So he got a little bit more color on him. If you told me he was a robot, I would not think you were lying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he used to say that about like he's half man, half amazing.
Like, no, just full Android. Like he's just been. Yeah, his face.
He used to say, like, inside here, it's nothing but circuitry and wires.
And look at it. He looks like, I mean, for the Dragon Ball Z fans out there, he's like Android 16, 17, 18 brothers. So that's what he looks like. His hair is perfectly. Is that coiffed? What do you call that?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Spray painted as well. He he looks like a villain.
Yeah, I guess he was. Was he at like some sort of like a gender reveal party for this photo in front of like the wall of pink balloons?
Well, you would think he was, but you would hope that he put that in the caption somewhere, right? Like
I don't know. Well,
I'm at a gender reveal, but look how freakishly handsome I am. Hashtag wink. Freakishly handsome.
Yeah.
Wink with one eye.
So I don't know. Like, is he doing, I don't see a lot of other wink photos. Is that like, did he wink on Big Brother 2? Was that it? Is it only as it pertains to Big Brother?
I'm not sure. I mean, these pictures are... a little disturbing. I'm not going to lie to you. It's like, could you go back a little bit
to which one? What do you want to say?
Oh, he has the picture with the coffee mugs, right?
This one?
Back up with the coffee mugs.
Okay, this one. Yeah.
But there's two, right? And they're separated by the
gender reveal photo.
Right. So did he take this picture, go to the gender reveal, come back, get in the robe, and then take the next picture and then wink like as fast as he got it. But this is, he's in the Big Brother house in that picture, according to the caption, right?
Yeah, according to the picture, in the Big Brother house, the coffee is served hot, but the revenge is served cold. Who's he having revenge against?
So he's drinking the coffee and serving the revenge. Is that correct?
I guess so.
I didn't know they had mini blondes in the Big Brother house.
Chappelle, what is this gimmick of like, I don't know what your neighbors are like. Do they drink a lot of coffee in bathrobes?
I'm a coffee enthusiast, and I don't own a bathrobe, and nor do I know if my neighbors own one. But I see that we have to know that Dr. Will owns one. That's a huge cup of coffee for someone who seemingly is doing nothing this week.
Yeah, he's up all night though.
Why does he need the coffee? Is he just watching the feeds? Is he just pounding coffee and trying to like stay up and stay relevant on what's going on in the house?
The feeds are so boring. You'll need all this coffee if you're going to stay up and watch.
Listen
to this Ponzi scheme also then. Lots going on this week, and your friendly neighbor is pulling all the strings from behind the scenes. Okay. So we'll blame you, tag Dr. Will with your complaints. And then he says, okay, three asterisks. Tag someone you are having a Big Brother watch party with this week, and post your prediction for the upcoming unprecedented triple eviction.
Okay, hold on. So people are having Big Brother watch parties in the middle of this pandemic.
Yeah. Well, going back to that first or second HOH, remember they were showing us, they were trying to like show us like have a Zoom watch party with your family.
Oh, so he wants to be tagged in the Zoom watch party people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. It was a weird flex, but okay. That's fine. I don't know if I would want Dr. Will, like not this version of Dr. Will knowing my business. He's very, like I said, he's very shiny. It's off-putting.
Chappelle, and then he has these hashtags, Big Brother 2020, hashtag Big Brother All-Stars, hashtag CBS Big Brother, hashtag Dr. Will is a national treasure, and hashtag freakishly handsome. How many people do you think use the hashtag Dr. Will is a national treasure?
I would be shocked if there was less than 100 people.
it's all his posts.
Not named Dr. Will. I mean, the freakishly handsome is probably a solid assertion at this point, because the freakishly part, that's the part that's kind of jumping out. Like, he's handsome, all right. Like, oh my god, is there such a thing as being like too handsome? Is that what's happening here? It's like looking directly into the sun. You got to squint. Like,
is that why he's winking with one? Maybe he can only wink with one eye at a time.
He's looking in his FaceTime mirror, so he sees his reflection. He's like, I'm so freakishly handsome. Like, oh no, I think Dr. Will is freakishly handsome as well. Mm-hmm. I will say that. Okay. I don't want to anger the Dr. Will stance, but I think that if that's what he wants to go with, I agree.
Okay. All right. We like to start off here on the slop in the end zone. We're talking about Enzo, and we haven't had a ton of Enzo stuff over these last couple of weeks, but I've got an Enzo clip, which is pretty wild. Going back to Enzo is thirsty, Chappelle.
Mm-hmm.
And he is so thirsty because he has been in the proverbial desert for months.
Oh, for months?
Yes.
Okay, so before Big Brother?
Before Big Brother, yes.
Oh, my God.
And so Enzo has a interesting turn of phrase that he's going to use to describe his current needs right now, and I will say that parental discretion is advised. Dominic will not be doing an ad here in the next couple of moments. Okay,
well, let's get into it.
Yes. Okay. Here's Enzo talking about the current state of Enzo.
I said it in there.
Go to the store.
I got what you call desert dong, yo. I was like, I went from quarantine to sequestering to BBS, and I got no women. I'm dying in here, yo. They were like, oh shit.
Excuse me?
Yes. Desert.
desert dong. Yeah. We can say dong on
I mean, we probably shouldn't, but
we probably shouldn't. Desert dong Enzo. Alrighty. And it's because it's dry down there, right?
That's no, I think it's been so long, I think, that...
like a desert.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Been a while since he's been wet. Is that what you're trying to insinuate?
Yeah, I don't know if it was... we'd have to ask him on a five-minute podcast of just how graphic of a reference this was. I just thought that it's been... He has been in the desert for so long. That oh, it's
like
just been
in, like a in California
period of time. This was sent to me by a couple of different listeners, this clip from the live feeds, but I didn't listen to it.
Desert Dawn quick?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's disgusting. Why do the listeners, why is that what you guys connect to? Desert Dawn? That y'all are like, God, you're going to love this.
Yeah. But Javel,
I love it.
That, my illiteracy is at work here because up until today, I thought that this clip was going to be about his dessert.
His dessert.
Dessert.
His dessert.
No, I know. I thought I was reading until I heard him say,
dog.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, oh, like I can't wait to hear about this. Like,
it's a snack.
Yes, it's like after dinner, you'll be treated to dessert. Yeah. No, it's
a snack that smiles back.
Enzo
dessert dog.
Has been so lonely that he's in the desert.
He's in the dessert dog. No, we're switching it. It's not desert anymore. It's dessert dog.
Dessert.
For the sake of the podcast.
Just dessert. How do you think Enzo's going to do after the show, Chappelle? Do you think that Enzo is going to meet a lot of women after Big Brother?
Oh, yeah, because he's going to win it all. So Enzo's going to have the money. And so that's going to open up some doors.
Yeah.
And then he'll be able to give his dessert to whomever wants to eat it.
It's interesting because the first time Enzo played, he was married when he went on Big Brother. And now...
I forgot that.
Yeah. So now he is, as Big Jeff would say, single and ready to mingle. That we don't really see a lot of people who are, you know, in their 40s who then are single coming off the show and then on the prowl.
Yeah. And so and then he's going to come. He's a seasoned person. So he's got a new demographic that he can reach with the Big Brother fans, you know, ranging from 18 to 23.
Right.
So
just brace yourself for a world of it's November. You're on the Big Brother Reddit. Hey, I just matched with Enzo on Tinder. Enzo just sent me this dessert pic.
Just a
he's
going to
be out there, yo. Yeah.
Yeah. The Vincenzo's treats is what it's going to be packaged as. It's going to, you know, could you imagine though, like the oh my God. Somebody just like some poor unsuspecting person is going to match with Enzo and she's going to be, you know, fresh out of college thinking he's a normal human being only to find out that he's damaged by two seasons of Big Brother and that a lot of his personal business is already online, including his, you know, his dry dick. We can't say, oh, donk. I'm sorry.
Yes. Chappelle. Imagine if he wins also.
Yeah. If he wins, then he has the money. Then you could keep that dong wet and not dry. Like,
stay out of the desert.
Not deserted. Yeah, like a desert.
Won't be deserted. Yeah, that's right.
Now, worst case scenario, he gets out and we go directly like back into like full quarantine. And then like he has to like sit. Not only does he have to like sit on his money because nothing's open, but he also can't, you know, go find any prospects for his wetening.
Speaking of Enzo's money, that I know some people wanted to hear you weigh in on what Enzo would do with this 10K if he ended up being the winner. Let me play this clip from last night where Enzo was talking about if he won the 10K that David got.
That was 10K. Man, I could have just bought anything with that. I mean, clothes, a motorcycle, an 80-inch screen TV. I don't know, whatever, man. I could have bought so many things, man. Although I do got a 75-inch TV, so I'm okay with that.
Why does Enzo need such a big TV?
Well, listen, you and I both can relate to liking television a lot, you know, so I can see why you would need a big TV. I just want to know why $10,000 would be your catalyst to get like 5 more inches. like he has a 75 inch and he's like, well, you know, I got an 80 inch, you know, now I got this 10K. I can splurge a little bit, like, sir. And is that in the running like versus the motorcycle? Rob, how much do motorcycles normally go for? Is $10,000 like a steal or is this
are you asking
like a
me
down payment?
Do I look like the kind of guy that knows what a motorcycle costs, Chappelle?
You know, I trust Enzo, but apparently, according to him, $10,000 is only going to buy him an 80-inch TV and some clothes. So I don't know who's the motorcycle like aficionado here who has the inside scoop. But as far as I know, with $10,000, you could do a lot better than an 80-inch TV, couldn't you? Like, just that's it? That's what you want to shoot for? Yeah,
just, like, if Enzo wins the season, how big of a TV is he buying?
80.
That's it?
80 inches.
That's it, yo. 80-inch TV.
That's all he needs.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's going to do with his 75-inch TV, but apparently, I mean, he could donate it to charity or something or give it away to the second prize winner. Who knows? But it sounds like 80 inches is his goal. I mean, what is he going to do like with all his winnings if he's not going to buy, spend money on 5 inches of television? So.
I mean, that's a huge TV.
Yeah, I mean, he could put clips of himself up on the screen, and then he can invite his lady friends over, and then the desert can go away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. One other Enzo thing. So a very resourceful person on Reddit, Kay Bisley on Reddit, posted this on the Big Brother subreddit. I run a Big Brother group, and Enzo's mom is always popping in to make sure we know how great her son is. Someone asked if he showers. And so
they asked his mother if he showers.
Yeah, I think that this was a thing last week. I know Taryn said that this was not something that he feels like that this happens to somebody every season, that the live feeders wonder if somebody showers after somebody makes a comment. And so a user said, I think he's self-conscious about his hair loss. That's why he wears the hats and head wraps. And Enzo's mom said, not true. Wrong. Should be like, not true. Wrong again, yo. Enzo has hair. He is a good looking and attractive person, yo.
Wait, so she's telling us that we don't see that he's bald. Like, we're wrong. Who do we believe? Her or our lying eyes?
So a commenter said he's self-conscious about his hair loss. And so he wears head wraps. And Enzo says it's not true. Wrong again. Enzo has hair. He is a good looking and attractive person.
I mean, he might be, but we've seen his head, right? We know he doesn't have the hair. Like,
he's doing it by choice, maybe.
Oh, maybe so he shaves his head and then covering it with the head wrap. See, because I wear a do-rag, but that's because I have hair under here and I don't want people to see it. But like, I'm not bald.
Same thing. Same thing that Enzo's doing.
Same thing.
Yeah.
I've seen, I've seen the lack of hair and the hair. Like, there's like a combination of hair and not hair on Enzo's head. So for his mom to say that he's not bald, maybe she meant he has hair everywhere, like on his back.
Like on his back, Enzo's, needs to be shaved.
Yeah, that's what she meant. She meant, hey, he has hair on his back, and he's a very attractive individual. He's not self-conscious. So she was answering three different questions at once. She wasn't telling us, to believe her over our own eyes.
She also said Enzo is unique for his ways. He is a character. This is fair. Where's the lie?
Thank you, Mom. Thank you, Mom. Don't you love moms? They just can pop in on Reddit and not be the most embarrassing person ever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I'm in my 40s, hopefully my mom is, going and telling everybody to be nice to me in whatever venue I'm in. Hopefully she'll get in the comments on this one. Spoiler alert, she won't. But if she cared enough about me, she could get in the comments and tell you guys to stop being mean.
Yeah, that would be great, Chappelle, if my mom could mix it up with people on Twitter that are talking about how RHAP sucks, and then write back to the contestants that don't like the podcast and all those things. That would be wonderful.
You'd be like the new Marshawn Lynch. You remember when his mom was like yelling at the Seahawks, like, what are you doing? He's on the 1 yard line. You run the ball. Like, yes, that's what we need. We all need a good mom like Enzo's to just come and line everybody up.
Yes, a momager. That would be great.
Taryn doesn't want us to have any fun, Rob.
Why?
We get it.
Yeah.
We get it. You know, they shower. Sure. And every year we deal with this. But Taryn, if we say they don't shower, we say they don't shower. God, it would be okay.
Yeah.
No, like, who are you? Enzo's mom? Why are you looking out for Enzo?
No, he's like a newscaster of in right. terms of like that he has to, you know, he gives it to you straight every day.
Right. Nothing but the facts. We get it, Taryn. Like, give it a rest.
real quick, you brought up Marshawn Lynch just as a segue to get into sports. You know, mm-hmm. way back when, do you remember when there was the mornings with Memphis?
Yeah, the early morning Memphis show when he would just talk to whoever else was old enough to be up in the morning, because Memphis goes to sleep at like 7:30 p.m.
Yeah, back way back when. Remember this?
Welcome to Mornings with Memphis.
So, on Mornings with Memphis, Memphis made mm-hmm. a bunch of predictions about what was going on in the world, and okay. they kept giving him the buzzer of like, Memphis, right. you don't know anything about the world. But listen to this. How freakish will this be if one of Memphis's predictions ends up coming true? This was from September 2nd. Here is Memphis's prediction for what's happening in the world of sports.
LeBron James and the LA Lakers come up short, a loss to the Miami Heat.
Okay.
Well, Memphis, you know, I mean, we know he's from Florida, so he's probably a Heat fan. So he's probably hoping that this happens. But it could happen, right? Memphis could be, you know, he could have some little like some foresight into the future and see that LeBron is about to go up against his toughest competitor yet, Jimmy Butler, and the people who just struggle with the Celtics.
And so, if the Heat knock off the Lakers, does this mean Memphis will win the season?
No, I think this is the end of his luck. I think if he gets that one, you can't have too many nice things.
Yeah.
not in 2020. So you have to sell your soul to get LeBron James to lose to the Heat this time. So you don't get to win Big Brother as well.
Okay. I mean,
you get to go out in second with no votes. So something familiar. Yes. That okay.
So if the Heat gets swept, that will be pulling a Memphis.
Yeah, we could call it pulling a Memphis.
They got Memphis. Yeah.
They got Memphis.
Well, they didn't get a game. Okay.
Yeah.
Chappelle, let's welcome into the show. Okay. They're very excited to talk some Big Brother with this man. You could hear him on the Challenge Mania podcast. Great friend of the show. I know that his wife is a big super fan of the shows and Renap. Let's welcome in. Scott Yeager is here. Scott, how are you?
Hey guys, how's it going?
Oh, it's going great. Hey, Scott. How are you doing?
Good. I would be remiss if I didn't remind you and your audience that my wife Lindsay is in fact a Supreme Court justice.
Oh, yes.
Supreme
okay.
Court as yeah. well. So,
all right, we're trying to limit the Supreme Court talk these days.
Yes.
But
yes. Apparently Rob didn't pay his taxes a few years ago, but we'll get into that later on.
How are you guys doing?
Yeah, doing really well. How about you?
Good. I'll be honest. I was tuning in and I feel a little left out. I didn't get to partake in the what does Dr. Will look like these days conversation.
Yes.
I have a hot take.
Yes. Okay. So you give your hot take and I'll go ahead and bring it up. Okay. So
I think he looks like, and this is coming from someone like myself who I don't really have a lengthy history of looking at Dr. Will. I've only, you know, full disclosure, looked at him for the past few years. But when he wandered off outside that balcony with the bathrobe on, I thought I was looking at the actor Timothy Oliphant. And I sent Rob a picture.
Yeah, I'll bring it up. Here, give me one second.
Because I was going to have to Google it. I was like, I don't know who that
and
is.
And I think I will, you know, I think the comparison is justified. I'll just say that.
Okay, there you go. All right.
The Oliphant.
Okay, let's see if we get... hold on. It's this one is the... what do you think?
There's a silver fox photo where it's identical. That one right there.
I mean, that's pretty close. What is Timothy Oliphant's like claim to fame?
So he was the star of a show on FX called Justified. He was in Deadwood. Most recently had a supporting role mm-hmm. in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. But I feel like Dr. Will went to wherever he went and said, give me the Oliphant.
Right. The Oliphant, but shiny. Like the Oliphant, but with plastic.
Like an Oliphant boy, you know?
Right. Oh. Exactly. He looks like an Oliphant action figure.
Mm-hmm. So do you think that he's wearing a Oliphant mask like Mission Impossible?
That's very possible.
It's more like a latex bodysuit. It's very shiny. It's very sticky looking. You don't know. You don't want to touch it. You don't think so? No, that's just me. Okay, whatever.
It's just like a level too mean for me. But I'll go with the old fan comp.
Oh, so, no, I didn't mean that to be mean. It's a gorgeous bodysuit. Mm-hmm. It's just shiny. It's shiny. You know, Scott, freakishly handsome.
Yes, freakishly handsome is well said.
I never want to be called that again, by the way. Like the next time somebody like my mom would probably be the only person to say this to me. You are freakishly handsome, Scott. I'll be like, yeah, that's an insult now to me.
That's like Enzo's mom. Enzo's mom would say that for Enzo. He's freakishly handsome.
He's not freakishly handsome, yo. He's just regular handsome.
Yeah, regular handsome.
Yeah. Scott, you sent me that picture, and I thought that was a picture of Dr. Will until I did a double take.
Yeah, it's honestly pretty creepy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's pretty close. I've never seen Timothy Oliphant before, but if you told me that they were related, I would believe you.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, Scott, what has been your impression so far of Big Brother 22?
Well, you know, it's been from where I sit, and I'm very plugged in, as you guys, of course, are to the internet viewers and the live feeders and all that good stuff. And from that perspective, it's been kind of a gloomy watch. As you know, I come from the challenge side of things, where we had two beautiful representatives on the season, both Bailey and Davon. And for that and a million other reasons, it was tough to see them struggle pretty much from the gate. As Chappelle said, we had that brief moment where she won the fittingly tiniest veto ever. But other than that, yeah. So what's great about this podcast that you've invited me to be on is that this is sort of the everything, but this is the jokes. This is the fun. Yeah. But to be honest with you, it's been hard to sift through all the literal slop that we've had to deal with from a gameplay perspective and kind of who's been running the game and the most aptly named alliance ever, the committee. And you know what I mean? Like, has anyone ever looked more like the name of their alliance than the committee? Like, that is a committee. That's like the committee from The Office that plans the parties. But yeah, so this is great because, you know, what you guys started talking about here and what I imagine we're going to talk about from here on out are the laughs, are the fun, which is what Big Brother's all about. And the, you know, kind of the very youthful and vibrant energy and fun that you can pick fun at, you know, while watching these people in a fishbowl for 3.5 months.
Yeah, we're trying.
You mean to tell me this is in like, wait a minute, Scott. No, you mean to tell me this isn't like the most like strategy based fair game that ever existed? Like you watch Big Brother for fun. I watch this for cutthroat strategy moves, backstabbing, just general gameplay across the board. And people are watching this for like wacky antics. No, and
well, I'll
outfits.
Be honest. I agree with what you're saying. And like typically, like for instance, like on a normal season, I love like the game Tyler played up until the end where he lost. I love the two games that Paul played. Like I love that when it's like one person really playing a great political game. When it's like, I don't know, like just a company or a committee just kind of taking turns, picking off people that are great and individualistic and you know, and smart and fun. Like that, I don't think is as fun to watch. And I think last season had a bit of it as well. And I think that Big Brother 21 and Big Brother 22 have kind of fallen into a trap that the last season of the challenge kind of fell into. And then not the most recent Survivor season, but the one before that, where, you know, I don't know about you, Rob, but reality TV, which is normally a pretty fun thing to cover, got, you know, kind of pretty sad and serious and somber, you know, to where you need like a borderline master's degree to talk about some of this stuff. So sometimes it's fun to just sit back and appreciate the goofiness of a laser, you know, or a Zingbot, or, you know, the jokes that we're going to talk about here today.
Scott, let me just ask you a question. And so you normally are covering The Challenge, which is a show that I feel like, and I'm not no challenge expert, but I feel like that there's got to be a lot of seasons where people do come in with these pregame alliances and a lot of it is sort of like predetermined. But I never hear people saying like, oh, boy, Challenge is getting a pretty boring season. Nothing's going on. Well, how is The Challenge able to keep things fresh when the outcome may not always be, you know, completely unpredictable?
Well, I think a couple things. One is similar to what Big Brother tries to do, which is, yes, you're totally right. On The Challenge, where you have a cast where 80% of these people know each other, even if they don't know each other, they might get a sniff of who's going to go on the next season. They slide into their DMs and whatnot. There is a lot of pregame finagling, but that's all fine and good. But when you get there, you know, it all comes down to these eliminations they have, where it'll only get you so far to have the numbers in your favor because, hey, if you can, you know, knock someone out in a hall brawl or something, you'll stay in the game. I think Big Brother is just, you know, one step too many where it's, you know, you don't get that final chance to save yourself. It always comes down to a vote. And the earlier seasons of the challenge, which are now available on CBS All Access, I'll throw them a plug. You know, the very early ones start, you know, ended with a vote, and they were very anticlimactic because of that. And once they came up with this brilliant thing where we were never going to have someone leave, you know, waving goodbye, it was going to be, you know, leaving on your back or leaving crying or leaving whatever. That's when the challenge, I think, got really fulfilling and exciting, because someone always ultimately has to lose. They might get ganged up on, they might get thrown in by the committee, but if they have what it takes to beat every member of the committee on the way out, they're going to be the one at the top of the mountain.
Yeah. Scott, this is a good point. Tell me, what do you think about this? Okay, Chappelle, we got too many people playing in the veto. You make two nominations, the two people nominated and the HOH play veto. That's it. That's it, yo. Yeah.
And maybe a consequence for the HOH is they lose, right? Like, so in the challenge, you often have to compete against the person who put you up, or, you know, they have to throw.
Now you're on the block. You know?
Right. Like let's say Cody's HOH and he says, black people, David, whatever, whoever, you're on the block. And then he says, okay, Christmas, go dispatch them. And so if Christmas loses, now Christmas is on the block. So now it makes it, you know, where she's looking at Cody like, I thought we were aligned. And he's like, well, I just needed you to win the challenge. You won a foot race with a broken leg. I thought you could, you know, do this. And so I think that might add some incentive to you want to play a little bit harder. Yeah. So you don't end up that person that, you know, that brawler that has to go out and beat everybody.
Yeah, because Scott, we got too many people in this big alliance, and then you're stacking the veto. It's like, you know, you got like five people from the big alliance and the one person, or four people from the big alliance and the two nominees on the block for a given week. Too many times, just like, okay, I choose not to use the veto this week. So maybe that could be something to workshop. But this is too much strategy talk.
Yeah, it's true. You know, and I agree with what you're saying. And I wish that Big Brother kind of, they always throw these kinks in the game, but like they put too much thought into, like, you know, the delivery system of it. Right. And coming up with a corny name for it. And like, this season is going to be a camp and this season is going to be a basement, but it really never affects anything. It's sort of just like a new version of what they already have. I would love if, like, for a season, if, like you said, if it was just one-on-one, the person on the, you know, the people on the block versus the head of household, maybe 2-on-1, whatever, or they implemented, you know, smaller comps throughout, or if you were the person who survived the block, you're immune for the next week, things like that. Mm-hmm. Because little wrinkles like that affect the challenge as well, where this last season they had it where you had to go into an elimination to have a ticket to the final. They've had it in the past where if you survive an elimination, you have immunity the next week, which of course takes away the, like, you know, the phrase everyone uses, oh, I don't want to get blood on my hands. It's like, once you've thrown in Kevin a million times, you don't even have to be a bad person to want to throw in Kevin. It's just the easy thing to do. And they don't have the internet yelling at him like, look at the optics of this, guys, move on, because all they do is see the strategy in it. And I agree that if in your inner vacuum, there's no reason to not just keep throwing the same bottom people in. There's got to be you have to come up with a thing season long, not just 1 week, that makes that a problem for the people who implement that strategy, in my opinion.
We'll be right back to talk about some more slop. Going to talk about some Calafiore talk with Scott and Chappelle in just a moment. But first, let me go ahead and thank a sponsor. Those are our friends over at Brooklinen. Now, you've heard me talk about Brooklinen before, how I swear by the Brooklinen sheets on my bed. No sleep till Brooklinen. I invented that. But let me tell you about their towels. They are amazing. You will feel as soft and comfortable as Dr. Will walking around his balcony when you get yourself a Brooklinen towel. They're so plush. It's a great way to start off your day. It's like they give you a little hug and say to you, want to get high quality towels? That's where you go, to Brooklinen, home of the incredible Brooklinen towel. Brooklinen is the perfect place to find all the comforts of home, including ultra soft towels. They're so confident in their product that everything comes with a lifetime warranty. So go ahead and give it a try. You're going to love how plush and soft the Brooklinen towels are. You get a promo code as well. Use promo code ROB for 10% off your first order at brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLENEN.com. Promo code ROB. Brooklinen, everything you need to live your most comfortable life. That's at Brooklinen, promo code ROB. Now let's get back to talking about the Calafiores on the slop. Scott, you have seen across your time covering the challenge many seasons of a Calafiore competing on the challenge. I am wondering what you have thought about the other Calafiore in terms of Cody Calafiore. How do you think that he has been?
I decided to rattle her.
How do you think that he has been faring so far in this season?
I mean, look at
my brother Cody.
He's been playing ever since the first minute of the first episode, a perfect game. And he, you know, he wins that first head of household and now has won a big one here. And for some reason, it's so weird. Not one person has mentioned his name once as someone you need to get out of here. Whereas I feel like every other season I've watched, he's like the perfect person to sort of, you know, use as look at this, you know, this big threat, if you will. I always say that, like, you know, you look at a Brett or you look at a Jackson or you look at, you know, yeah, you know, Cody, and Big Brother's games are so wacky. They don't necessarily have to be comp beasts, but these guys all seem to be. And to me, what's funny about Cody is that, you know, Paulie, as you know, in particular, is a very polarizing guy, both on Big Brother, almost, I would say, towards the end here, as much on the challenge as Big Brother.
And but let me say, I'm a huge fan.
Yeah, oh, we know. Yeah, oh, yeah. No, he's a huge fan of yours, as I think Matt Liguori can attest to. I remember the look on Paulie's face when Matt Liguori told him at one of our live shows that he was with you. And Matt was smart because he asked if he could take the picture with Paulie and Cara. And then afterwards was like, oh, I'm with Rob, Sister Nino. And Paulie's eyes lit up. And I think he said something really weird, like, come see me in a backyard or something. I think he backyard.
Yeah, I think it was cash me outside. How about that?
That's the exact quote. That's exactly cash what me it was.
Stay crushing it.
Yeah. He wanted to crush it. It's a big fan of yours,
what's
Rob.
Great about Paulie is that he's obviously very polarizing. Cody, for the most part, though, seems to be very well liked both by America and the people in the house. But he sounds exactly like Paulie. So if, like, you're someone like me who mainly has heard Paulie's voice over the last few years, I can kind of close my eyes and pretend that Paulie's playing this very likable winning Big Brother game if I want to. Yeah, so it's pretty fun.
Yeah,
use your imagination on that one. Huh? You're like, an alternate universe.
Yeah.
So Paul Calafiore has recently taken to Twitter to go on the offense to talk about how well his brother is doing on this season. And yes,
Paulie or Paul?
He goes by Paul on Twitter.
He goes by Paul on Twitter. Yeah, it's, you know what it is? It's like
professional.
It's like, you know how most people, you know, they like to turn it up to 11. He likes to turn it down to 7.5 on Twitter. Let you know he's being slightly serious. No longer Paulie. This is all business. I'm Paul now. So yeah.
Okay, Paul. Also, very Paulie professional. I like that. Right. I think Paul, yeah, he got
like a screen
actor
skill.
They beat him to Paul.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Paulie in the union, so he had to go by Paul.
Now, are you interested in hearing about a Twitter feud between Paul Calafiore and Angie Rockstar?
I followed it. I'm sorry to say I did catch a front row seat to this, and it was I'll let you take it away. It's hard to hear, but yeah, let's relive it.
There's a lot going on here. And so, okay. All right. Let me take you through the oral history of Paul Calafiore versus Angie Rockstar, if I may. Okay. All right. And this is a lot of visual aids here. And then, Scott, you can help us sort of make sense of what's all going on here. Okay.
Sounds
all right.
Good, yeah.
Here we go. So we start with this picture. This is a photo of Cody. And this is a tweet that it's so this is going to create some confusion here in terms of the way that this tweet is framed, but a user on Twitter, and I'll be very professional throughout this, Ravina White colon said that D fat, she Ravina did not say D, that's
dong.
Dong fat,
desert dong fat, gotcha.
Retweet RT at all BB updates colon Cody serving bulge !! Hashtag BB16 hashtag Calafiore jeans GE.
If I can step in here, I think one of the main problems with the communication here, it's a lot of old Twitter technology as far as the retweeting style, the quote tweeting. It's hard to tell who's saying what and who is complimenting said dong here, I think is the thing.
Yes. Okay. So, yeah, this is where things get complicated. This is an old tweet. It's from July 5th, 2014. This is Paul Calafiore as a BB16 viewer.
Our mitzvah DJ at the time, I believe.
Yes. And so this was said, and then apparently this resurfaced somehow and came across the eyes of one Angie.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
Wait a minute. Okay, let's just break that down before you move forward. I want to make sure I have the order of operation correct, right?
Yes.
So BB updates first. Tweets out Cody serving bulge.
Yes.
Then Ravina White quote tweets it and says that desert dong is fat. Okay. And then Paul Calafiore, the watcher at the time, the audience member.
Yes.
Tweets that's the Calafiore jeans.
No, he was hashtag Calafiore jeans.
Because right, hashtag Calafiore.
Let's click on that hashtag jeans. Also.
Please don't click on that hashtag. hashtag Calafiore jeans because he too has a fat desert dong.
Documented, yeah.
Okay, and it apparently is documented. Okay, all I want to know. Make sure that we knew who was saying what. Okay.
Okay, all right. So, Angie Rockstar says, I don't have a brother, and I'm not a dude, .. This normal? Question mark. Y'all talk about your brother's bulge or nah.
Or nah.
Yeah.
Let me ask if you guys know the timeline on this or whether you think they're related. So around this time was when Cody, I believe, won a competition. I think it was the head of household, and Paulie tweeted that he was going to give a big French kiss.
Yes.
Started getting the brotherly love thing going on today in the present day. And then I wonder if that was maybe what set Angela down this rabbit hole.
Real cute.
Of all of this. Is that possible? Because to randomly find a tweet from 2014, I wonder if she was, you know, sort of thinking, should I go and find more receipts to back up my claim that maybe you and Cody have a different relationship than the average brothers?
Scott, I have a question for you. What did she search to find that tweet? Did she search?
No.
Hashtag Calafiore jeans, or did she search that dick fat? What
maybe,
did she?
Maybe she searched Paulie's Twitter and then Cody.
Okay, hang in there because the more on this to come. Okay,
okay,
that's part of the story.
Got it. Okay, I don't want to spoil what's to come.
I'm finding out all of this for the first time. Yeah. I don't follow Bulge news, so this is the first time I get to weigh in on something like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just to answer a couple of Angela's questions I do have a brother.
Yep.
You could consider me a dude, probably not normal, and I do not talk about my brother's bulge.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I have.
Yeah.
Scott, do you have a brother?
I do have a brother. Both of us, I believe, consider dudes. Definitely none of this, at least publicly, for sure. Yeah, for sure.
Okay, then we're 3 for 3 because I have a brother. I am a dude, and I mean, this might be normal to someone, but this is not my truth. I don't talk about my brother, you know. I really don't talk about him often. So
we have to remember, Paulie though also does, I believe still, but I know at least for a certain amount of time, did have an OnlyFans.
Yeah.
The Calafiore jeans and the bulge, I believe is what they're referring to it as, is a part of that marketing process. So, you know, it's one of those things where it's kind of, you know, you're throwing it out there. Hey, this is something you might want to invest in. I'm a part of this gene pool where we offer a good product here.
This is marketing. Yes. Okay.
Yeah,
by the way.
I mean, so again, it maybe puts him in a separate category of person. I would never probably have an OnlyFans to begin with, you know, for a variety of reasons. But, you
Scott,
know,
this
confidence in that area being one of them. You know, I don't think I'd be willing to tell people, hey, you're definitely going to be satisfied in this regard. Paulie is a different breed of man in that regard. So knowing that, it's one of those things where it's slightly less weird coming from these two.
Yeah.
So the only part I take pause with, amongst all these other things I take pause with, is that he's using his brother's picture to advertise his OnlyFans by saying, like, look, we got the same genes, when he could just post his own picture.
But did he have that OnlyFans in 2014?
No. I think what I'm doing is kind of reverse engineering logic to say that Paulie has what they call BDE, as does Mr. Cody Calafiore, as you guys call them. And I think that's a different breed of person. What comes with the BDE is the bravado.
Big Derek energy? Is that what it is?
Big Derek energy, I believe, is what it is.
No, he's a cop.
So it's one of those things where, you know, and this is a term that I think is pretty recent. I think I've heard it in the last 5 years or so, but it's one of those things where with Paulie, I used to refer to it as kind of irrational confidence, right?
Yes.
He's one of those guys who, I mean, look, he can come in 11th on Big Brother, but still come out of it talking like he had the best game in the world. And you wonder, where is this coming from? The BD. And so it's one of those things where this is a seed where, had I seen this tweet without even seeing a similar photo of Paulie, I wonder if the BDE is a thing here. So it all kind of just bleeds together, if you ask me.
Okay. All right.
Seeds, baby.
That's right. That's where ultimately the Calafiore genes come from. Seeds, baby.
From the everything seeds.
That's right. Can't find that clip fast enough. Okay.
Please don't.
All right. All right. So then that's what Angie Rockstar had to say on September 24th, which got a response from Paul. Paul said, aside from you stalking a retweet of mine from 2014, if you read the tweet, ... someone else said that Desert Dong Fat. My quote, however, was # Calafiore jeans. Now, as someone I've seen cry and beg fans to be nicer to her on Twitter, maybe you should just shut your flop ass the F up. #BB22.
I love the #BB22. Just keep it current.
You got to timestamp them because people go back and find 6-year-old tweets about your brother's dong.
Yes.
I think he made some valid points, and that's all I will say. Now her point still stands. That Calafiore jeans tweet doesn't come from you, you know, not speaking on your brother's genitalia.
Yes.
And so she had one point, but he made several. You know, he quoted it. It really wasn't his original thing. And Rockstar has asked people to be nicer to her. And so for her to go digging something up on this guy who she doesn't seemingly have a relationship with, you know, maybe just kind of chill a little bit.
Yeah.
#BB22.
#BB22. Yes. Shut your flop ass, the F up. Is
that a Big Brother finish reference? Is he saying she flopped on the show? Because didn't they finish around the same?
I think he's calling her a flop in every sense
first
of the word.
First lady of podcasting?
No, not every sense of the word, I guess. I think he's calling them a flop in like this. She
hasn't been invited on the challenge. Is that why she's a flop?
Well, she's just her. If Big Brother was supposed to be the launch of her career as a TV personality or somebody that people generally care a whole lot about, like just as like a general population type thing, then maybe that's what he's saying. Like, you know, as a Big Brother player, you might be like replacement level or maybe forgettable, I think is what he's trying to say.
Okay. All right. So then we have a response from Angie Rockstar, who says, Def didn't stalk it. It popped up on my TL. And actually, I was trying not to be judgy by asking if this was a thing, thanks for letting my flop ass know. Winky face. So, Scott, what do you think this... Does Dr. Willface, without the lamination, Scott, does Angie have a point? Like, hey, I was just asking. I had something I legitimately wanted to know. I could have gone to Google. Instead, I asked my Twitter followers, is this normal? Is this a thing?
So, yeah, look, here's what stinks, because I like Rockstar. I think I began following her closer to her season. I forget, but I met her briefly at an event here in New York. She was very sweet. We were going to try to get her to come out to one of our things. We've kind of stayed in touch from afar. And I think that recently, even though I know she didn't make it on the cast, she has been the benefactor this year, I think, where a lot of people have, you know, shown their true colors and really not reacted well to, you know, the way other people behave and a lot of things in the news and in life. And I think that Rockstar has sort of come out of this thing looking good. And I think a lot of people like Rockstar. They liked her on the show. Obviously, she was, you know, someone who ended up being the target of a little bit of bullying and stuff like that. But now I think when the roles are flipped and the people who do the bullying on Big Brother have sort of gone out of style in a favor perspective, people like Rockstar, I think, have garnered a lot of support. So, I mean, maybe I'm only reading the good stuff, but to me, it seems like although she wasn't asked back on the show, she has one of the better reps from people who have been on Big Brother in the last 3 years or so. That being said, I do call BS on this. The whole whoa.
Actually,
I wasn't trying to be judgy. It's like one of those things where it's like all I did was present the weird thing you did and ask people if this was weird.
Right.
It's like, come on, you wouldn't have done that if it wasn't weird. So that is throwing shade a little bit, even if not directly. You were sort of assuming the people would do that for you.
Yeah.
So
This is a very balanced look at this Twitter feud. I think that we're doing a really great job with this.
We're covering all sides, Rob.
Very professional.
Not a flop, right?
Yeah. So, but what you're right, Scott. Rockstar, even during the season, was kind of like the avatar for the audience, right? Because she was the one who was saying what we wanted her to, what we wanted to say, and doing what we wanted to do. She just couldn't get any power and couldn't win any competition to get us, like, you know, to be like a real opposition to, you know, Tyler's side of the house. So we've always kind of like rallied behind Rockstar, and then outside of the house, she's, you know, from what it looks like, for the most part, not problematic. And so, yeah, in a situation like this, we want to rally behind Rockstar, but this, like, hey, I mean, not to stir the pot, but you guys look at each other, your brother's junks, really? That's the thing y'all do?
Oh, disgusting.
No, I was just kidding. You know, like, I think that's, yeah, I don't think that's genuine at all. I think she might have got caught slipping a little bit.
Yeah. I'll say this, that it popped up on her timeline in the sense that I'm sure, as I mentioned, Paulie's been very affectionate towards his brother this season with the rallying stuff. You guys know better than anyone that Big Brother fans, they keep this stuff in their back pocket. And so they've been waiting to repurpose this Paulie tweet for 6 years.
They had it locked and loaded.
As soon as Cody got
they
back
do their
show,
Oppo
like,
research.
We'll be able to use that Gene tweet again. So I buy that somebody tagged her in it and she wasn't fishing for it. I'll give her that.
Okay. All right.
Someone had it in the tuck. They just had it. They had it in the little pocket ready to unleash.
Ready to go. Okay. So Paul is going to respond. It popped up on my timeline. Yeah, because usually flops have to follow a lot of fan accounts to keep up on what to say to stay relevant. Once again, if you're going to cry about online bullying, don't perpetuate it via stuff popping up on your timeline, Dr. Willface.
Yes. It, again, valid point. Scott, what do you think?
Brilliant use of capitalization here. I think that, you know, whether you're, you know, writing your name on the side of a building or it's, you know, sort of a creative way of writing a band's name or something. I feel like that's how I always write the band Korn with the capital R in the middle there. I think no matter what his intention was, I read that sentence as if it was Rockstar, you know, and he really nailed that. I will say I can feel what Paulie's doing here, which is, you know, and he's not the first person to do it. I've seen this quite a bit where someone begins to chastise someone who is anti-bullying and then refer to something that they did as a form of bullying. I'm someone who always says that, okay, that's fine, but I think the world's would be a better place if people who occasionally do drop the ball are also anti-bullying. I don't think you need to throw in the towel and be pro-bullying just because you have an issue with one Paulie tweet. So I can see where this is going here. And as I think we're going to find out in a little bit, it gets a lot worse. So
it gets worse than this?
Yeah. Chappelle, do you think that there's a code here to unravel in the capitalization that Paulie uses for it popped up on my timeline? I mean, it starts with the capital I, then it goes PPE. So maybe there's some sort of a message there. Capital U and up, capital O and on, capital M and my, and then every other word in timeline.
No, I really looked at it for a second. I thought, like, okay, let's try to make something funny to say out of this. No. Listen, there was nothing. Hey, you know, that's a popular SpongeBob meme, you know, with the capital letters all, you know, and then of course Korn does that R in the middle. So it's been used before. But I think Scott's right. I think this person, you know, Paul is like, hey, like, You say you're anti-bullying, so stop bullying.
It's a stretch.
But I'm sure she's still anti-bullying. I just think she's just having a personal moment.
Bullying,
you know?
We're talking about. Like, you don't see people on the news being like, there's a real problem here with people bullying people for shining a light on them and their brother's well-endowedness. You know, we need to stop this. Kids are coming home from high school every day depressed and sad because their schoolmates are saying, man, you and your brother, you've got great genes and we're sick of it. Like, you know, this is, I don't know, Paulie, this is a bit of a, and I've seen him do this before because it's very common in the reality TV realm here for people to be very outspoken about being anti-bullying. But then, of course, you're reality stars.
Right.
So it's going to be a hypocrisy from time to time.
Yeah. But maybe, isn't it time? Maybe we should shine a light on this so that maybe there are
genes.
Yeah. There are a lot of brothers out there that are proud of how well endowed their brother is and would like to, maybe they want to talk about it, but for fear of bullying, they're not sharing these photos.
Rob, start a poll on your
Twitter
account.
There's a joke in there somewhere.
Yeah, start a poll, a long poll.
Do I get to send one tweet to Akiva's account?
Yes, do that from Akiva's account. Start a long poll asking how many siblings want to weigh in, or do they feel like they have been unnecessarily targeted or mistreated because of their genetics? Because see, Cody has famously said that he gets treated differently because he looks a certain way, and if he didn't look like himself, no one would be objectifying him online and talking about him and his brother's BDE.
Yeah.
So he might have a point.
I love when people say that. Like, that's the one thing you can fix. Like, if you're too attractive, like, I'm pretty sure if you gave it a 6-month go, you could be unattractive. Like, that is something you can change. I have very little sympathy for the people who are typecast or mistreated because they are extremely good looking. I'm sorry.
You know, that's the you're one right. thing. Yeah. They could always give it up. Scott, you're right. They could, like, let's say tomorrow, like Cody's like, I'm sick of this. I'm tired of this. I can't even play Big Brother without people talking about how beautiful I am and how big my brother's dong is. So I have to go and get a dong reduction. And so like Cody gets out the house, goes, get a dong reduction, posts the same type of pictures, kind of lets himself go for 6 or 7 months. And then he gets to know how it feels to not be Cody Califiore and not have those Califiore jeans on display like that on Twitter. He won't have to worry about Rockstar anymore.
There's also a wide variety of outer garments that you could wear that would properly disguise the jeans. In fact, jeans are a good option here. I think anything like boxer briefs are pretty good.
He could wear jeans. His brother could also stop displaying himself on OnlyFans. And then you could say, well, they're siblings, but we don't know what their jeans look like because they wear jeans, in public.
Okay, I think Paulie needs to be, here's what I'll say, right? And I think it's cute that he's so supportive of his brother. And I think
it's real cute
that he goes, you're right. I think it's borderline funny that he goes a step beyond just like positive reinforcement and gets a little bit creepy and sexual. And I think that's interesting and funny. But then, Paulie, you got to be aware that people are going to laugh at it or at least question it a tad.
But I think this is the desired result. He knows that this is how people are going to react on Twitter. Right. And he's
which
sort
is
of,
why
yeah.
I think
he's like a wrestling villain. Right.
I think he is. Well, he knows he's that. He's told me that he knows that he's a heel. And that's why I think, though, he does go a little 80s heelish here with his next round of insults.
Okay. All right.
Let's see it.
All right. So, Angie Rockstar will return serve. She says, you have to follow a lot of fan accounts. I can do that, too. No, I don't have to do stuff. But breathe and drink water. I follow them because they are people and I like them. I don't give a F about being relevant. I'm raising kids. It's your tweet. I didn't write it. Crying laughing emoji.
Deep sigh.
Is she saying this? Is this? I want to understand. Is she saying you have to follow a lot of fan accounts Or is she saying like, hey, look, you're on Twitter. You have to follow a lot of fan accounts. Okay.
No. She's mocking him, mocking her. So he says to her, like, it popped up on my timeline. And she's like, you have to follow a lot of fan accounts. Man. That was her goal. It didn't come off like that, obviously, but it's hard to, you know, to portray sarcasm and snark. Yeah, basically. Cause he said, you have to follow a lot of fan accounts. And she's like, well, I can do that too. Man. You're very, very mature. Her raising her kids and, you know, doing this. But that was her thing. She was mocking him and saying like, oh yeah, I can type sentences with random caps as well. And then she said she don't have to do shit but drink water and breathe, which is, it's very close to a quote I use sometimes, but it's very similar but not the same. And then she says, I follow them because they're people. So yeah. she finds a way to stay in the same, like, in the good graces of the fans. She's really good at that. Like, let me come for you, but also tell you that these people are loving individuals, and even though they're talking about your dong, you should respect them as well, and not, they're just not fan accounts.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think
they're not just bots. They're people.
Also went on, I believe, towards the beginning of the pandemic, maybe it was closer to the beginning of Big Brother 22 cast kind of getting formalized. I remember watching her go on sort of a following spree and making the days of a lot of her followers where she would return the follow. And then she would retweet their reaction. Oh, my God. Best day ever. Look who followed me. Rockstar. Now that's I feel nice. Like a rock star. Yada, yada. Encore. And so that, I remember that. So I wouldn't be shocked if she's right that all this stuff does show up in her feed now, because unlike some people, she is probably now following a lot of, you know, devout Big Brother enthusiasts who might be posting this fodder, and it is showing up in her feed naturally. So I think that maybe what she's trying to say is that she's kind of down to earth. She follows regular people, fan accounts, if you will. That's part of her everyday, and that's why this stuff shows up in her feed. But then talking about the raising kids here, Unfortunately, that brings up the kids, which, you know, kind of throws a softball up there for Paulie that he does not elect to take a pitch on. And that's where this goes south for me.
She also adds, as far as staying relevant, which one of us just tagged the season neither of us was on? It was you.
Okay, so she said he put BB22 in the hashtag.
Right.
Like, so you did that for clout.
Get the frenzy.
You did that. Yeah, okay, cool. Okay, we got action now. I like
that's
this.
Like on The Walking Dead where you start making noise and all the walkers start coming out because you hit the hashtag.
Okay. He's like ringing the bell and like okay, cool. All right. I like this now.
And then he said, hopefully your kids have better reading comprehension than you do. Go back to just breathing and drinking water.
You never want to go for the kids, man. You never want to. You can't go full heel. You know, heel is like somebody who you love to hate. And then you start talking about people's children. And that's when it gets kind of dirty. I think Scott was alluding to that a second ago. You know, you don't like, so hopefully your kids can read. You know, you don't do that to somebody.
Yeah.
I noticed she had a couple typos in that tweet as well, but it's Twitter. It's Twitter. Your people type, especially she's probably trying to return to serve relatively quickly. So she might have misspelled a couple things on accident. So if you're going to go after her literacy, which if you're beefing with somebody on Twitter and you talk about the way they spelled something, I really don't give you that much credit. That's not clever. That's just, you know, you pointing out a typo. But if you're going to come for somebody, come for her. She didn't bring, you know, your family members into it. You know, just don't, you know, you didn't have to bring the kids in.
But Scott, as a parent, let me just come out and say, I hope my children have better reading comprehension than I do.
Than me and her. Yeah.
Yeah,
no, for sure. Well, I'll say this. I've said this for quite some time, though, that since technology has become such a large portion of the way we communicate professionally and officially and whatnot, I've received emails from the heads of television networks that have bad spelling, grammar, etc. And your brain has turned off the thing that says, this person thinks this is how you spell this, or this person thinks this is the right use of this word. It tells you, oh, they did it in the car. And there was an autocorrect. So no longer do I think we need to, you know, give the credence to stuff like this. And so that's why I think, A, it was low-hanging fruit for Paulie to go that route. I mean, look, I'm guilty of this too. I'll post a tweet, I'll catch an error, but I'll be like, oh, it already got 7 likes. Okay, leave it up. So like, mm-hmm. I just think that not the best insult. And then when you tie in the kids, it's yeah. like, you know, I don't even know that spelling. I mean, think about it. Now that you have, I remember I used to get sent home in fourth grade with an assignment called ABC order. It's like, now you literally have a machine that can put things in ABC yeah. order. Why would they even do that assignment anymore? So I just don't think these skills are no longer are as necessary yeah. To point out or to really get
good. Right. Yeah. He's like, I bet your kids don't even know how to write in cursive.
yeah.
okay.
In fairness, the original tweet was difficult to follow. That took a lot of extra examination and detective work on our part. I don't think Grammarly was going to necessarily tell us there was a problem.
She's a stream of consciousness writer. I don't know if you guys are familiar. She always reminded me on the show on Big Brother, just look-wise, of Professor Trelawney from Harry Potter. And I believe mm-hmm. she brings with that a little bit of spontaneity. You know, she's yeah. you know, her stuff is never going to be very poignant. You know, it's going to be kind of out there. And so, you know, you gotta read through the tea leaves. There's a grain of something that makes sense. In some
yeah. Shout out to Sybil Trelawney. I didn't know she was going to come up today. I like her. Like that.
Angie Rockstar will respond. I have fine reading comprehension. I'm on a podcast literally right now and not looking while I type. K. Bye, dude.
Do we know how we figured out what podcast it was?
What a flex.
Yeah. Well, now she, let's be honest, look at the grammar and the punctuation in this tweet. I believe this, she made it a point not to use a single thing yeah. correctly.
That's like Enzo's mom on that message board also.
This is sort of so you now revisionist history, look through all these tweets as if she's on a podcast talking or breaking down the X-Files yeah. or something and tweeting while she's doing it. And it's brilliant because not even a period here. And how easy would a period have been? And I believe we have the K. So, I mean, look, really smart, I believe, by Rockstar. Have we been able to fact check this? Was there a podcast that dropped within about 2 hours of this featuring Rockstar?
Yeah. Are you saying there's an X-Files recap rewatch starring The Truth Is Out There with Rockstar?
Well, I want to know, is the truth out there? Was she on a, like, have we been able to fact check this? Because brilliant kind of, you know, excuse, you know, for having, like, can a kid turn in a term paper and when they go, this is terrible, this is a D, I was doing a podcast while I did it. I mean, come on. Yeah. Oh, cool.
Oh, no, that's now that I have, you know, been, you know, given the opportunity to talk on Rob's podcast. Now, my poor boss, every time they want something, I'm like, listen, I was on a podcast. OK,
yeah. Honestly, you employ yeah. several podcasters, right? If you yes. were to find that one of them was engaging in a Twitter feud, and let's say you got a little bit of feedback, you know, maybe on your Patreon, and someone said, hey, Chappelle's really been off his game lately yeah. on the podcast, and you went and saw, well, maybe that's because he was having an argument mid-show. Oh. Would you give him a talking to?
Does anybody think that Brent hasn't been in a Twitter argument God. While on a podcast?
How dare you?
His performance at all? Or I mean, look, Rockstar, as we know, first lady of podcasting, as you said, mm-hmm. I mean, she was maybe
yeah, that's why she's flop.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Was she possibly able to not break form at all? Or is there a podcast out there where in the middle of it, she's just like, no, so episode 41 of the X-Files, I'm sorry, one second, this Paulie guy again. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
You won't believe right. this thing with his brother.
She had enough like wherewithal to do the whole like capital letter thing, right? Like, so she did the like, you have a lot of fan accounts mm-hmm. to follow and random assortments of, you know, capital letters. But then all of a sudden she's like, but I'm on a podcast. I could barely pay attention to you. Well, it took a little energy to do what that's you just
two,
did.
That's a two finger. You got to be using right. both hands to pull
right. You had to pull out the palm free for that one.
Back to normal. You got to make exactly. sure you're like, no phone. I mean to look dumb.
Right. Mm. That's a T-Mobile Sidekick 2 move, you know, to yeah. shout out the challenge.
And I believe then this is the end of it. This is the I believe the final straw. So you know how to separate sentences and quotes from the ones outside of them, right? Here, let me pity plug the podcast you're on so it gets more listeners. Good night.
Wait.
Yes.
Look right below that. Do you see what podcast that she was allegedly on?
Which one? Evil Dick?
The next. Oh, that's what it said. I wasn't going to say his name.
Yeah.
You know, I'm blocked. But it says Evil Dick doesn't need a plug from you. So if look no further than that podcast. That's the answer to your question, Scott. Was she on Evil Dick's podcast?
It all comes full circle. This whole thing argument. Started with a conversation about a couple evil dicks. And now we are.
Only one is confirmed evil. Only right. one is confirmed right. evil. Yeah.
One just fat, one fat and one
evil. One fat and one evil. Yeah.
Oh, man.
They're like Marvin Harry. Is that what it is? From Home Alone? Harry the evil one? One's fat and one's sticky. Right.
So that's the end of Pauly versus Rockstar.
That was entertaining.
Yeah,
I actually don't really like reading the Twitter beefs because I want people to be kind to each other. You know, like I might have said that Dr. Will looked like he was latex, but I didn't mean that in a mean way. I do think he's really beautiful. It's just shiny, you know. And so so I'd rather them all make up and kind of be nice to each other because mm-hmm. I don't want Rockstar's kids getting dragged into it. But, you know, I like Rockstar and Paulie's never done anything to me. So I would like for everybody to, you know,
yeah,
kiss and make up like someone would do with their brother.
I just thought it was great to go through that was a very balanced look at this battle between two Big Brother titans, zero flops.
Both at fault, I would say, in that one.
Yes.
Right.
We could all be better.
Scott and I being the professionals on the panel, obviously, to weigh in on such a thing. So, yeah. It's nice meeting you, Scott.
Yes. Scott, how are you doing on time?
I'm perfect.
Okay, you're good. Okay,
I'm not going anywhere.
Okay, all right.
My son's outside. My 1-year-old, 1.5-year-old son is outside with my wife, and so I'm good to go.
So this season, as we've been talking about, Julie Chen Moonves has been reminding everybody about being kind all season long. Inside of the house, I have a live feed clip sent to us by Faison. At Faison RTV, who has this clip of Tyler reminding everybody about the golden rule. So maybe we can learn from this after the Pauly versus Rockstar feud.
Treat others as you would like to be treated. Why did everybody forget the golden rule?
Because of the internet.
Why does the internet not follow the golden rule?
It's exempt, I suppose.
We learned that in freaking first grade, people.
That's it. The internet, you just had to be nice, internet. You've broken the golden rule.
Yeah. What did Julie say the golden rule is? It's better to be kind than to be right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, well, there you go. Yeah, there you go. Tyler says if you're wrong, just, you know, say that. But be kind, but yeah. You don't necessarily have to be right. Okay, I feel it. Is that the golden rule? That's the one.
Just remember the golden rule. Do unto others as they would. So maybe Pauly would like a photo of when Cody comes out of the house for Cody to share a photo of him.
Yeah,
and comment
it. It was be kind, rewind, and make right. sure that whoever's the next yes. person to rent Under Siege does not have to do it themselves. They, in fact, get a movie they can start from the beginning. I wonder, and I wonder if you wanted someone on your show said this, Rob, is that could this potentially be the callback challenge at the end where they're like, finish the sentence? And it's all these quirky things that Julie said, and then they leave out a word, and you have mm-hmm. to figure it out. Or would that just be too boring because they're not funny enough? Because I'm wondering, it's like, why are they shoehorning all these into the end yeah. of every episode? And why don't they come up with better ones if that's the goal?
So you think that they might do like what the bleep with Julie's
at the end of the season? Bleep because it's just like, I don't know what you would be like with what the bleep. You have to take like a summer's worth of dialogue and find the ones that are really funny when you bleep the one word. And these are honestly just so linear and truthful. That it's like you'd be kind would be the only word you could bleep, right? So yeah. Maybe it's just like a finish the sentence, because I've noticed they started off sort of normal, degree of mm-hmm. difficulty not high, mm-hmm. and then they get like weird, as if like that's not how you would expect the sentence to finish. So are they getting to a point where she's going to be like, you know, the golden rule is you want to be kind, and then it stops and they have to finish it, and she's like, oh, the answer was to everyone who tells you good things until you tell them a good thing. And everyone's like, I didn't remember that because that's like not a slogan. Like,
mm-hmm. Right.
Where did you miss that? Week 14.
Yeah.
I mean, Julie did say famously, do not judge and you will be judged.
Yes.
So likes God, right?
Mm-hmm. She did say that. I love God. You look like the very pretty actress, Busy Phillips.
Busy Phillips.
You
look like
pretty. You remind me of Thelma and Louise. These are very topical references she's been making. And I think if you asked the house guest to finish the sentences, I think it would be a very suspenseful competition where we'd all be wondering what's going to come out of their mouths next.
Yeah.
Do they, I mean, and the live feeds, I don't know, I never watched them like right after this. Do they ever like get back into the house and they're having their hot cocoa, whatever, and they ever just kind of sit back and say, what was Julie talking about? Thelma Louise, what does she mean? Like, did they ever, or does that stuff just kind of happen so quickly and on the TV that it just goes over all their heads?
I think that the producers probably like read them the riot act of like, all right, everybody, after, and then remember after the live show, we're going to be, these are hot mics. Do not say anything about Julie. Do not say anything about the production in the moments after the live show. Okay, got it.
Well, they did discuss the Thelma and Louise comment because, you know, like she said it and they all just kind of stared at her because, one, why did she say that? But also, like, they couldn't hear her. And so they did talk about that they didn't actually hear the delivery completely of the Thelma and Louise joke, or they would have laughed and agreed with her wholeheartedly.
I think that they were so embarrassed that they just pretended they couldn't hear.
I would believe like to that since 1990 or whenever that movie came out, there is not a better example to build up two women than two fictional white women who are on the run from the law for murder who drive off a cliff. Mm-hmm. Like that is Rob, like you two are like Thelma. Like there has to be a better example.
Romy and Michelle.
What do we say? Kathy Lee and Hoda.
Kathy Lee and Hoda. Yeah.
Scott, I've done the research on this one. Okay. If you're not using Romy and Michelle, Kathy Lee and Hoda, Oprah and Gail,
I think it's Savannah and Hoda now.
It is Savannah and Hoda. Yeah. We went down this rabbit hole once before. And so, yeah, I would agree with you. It's almost like Julie hasn't seen a television show outside of Big Brother since she started working on Big Brother.
Or she never saw Thelma Louise because she rented it, but the person didn't rewind it. And so she's going off of is the you know, the cover of the video. Don't judge a movie by its cover, Julie. It's not a happy ending for Bailey and Devon. So,
which brings us back. Behind rewind.
Yeah. I mean, in fairness, it kind of wasn't a happy ending for Bailey and Devon. No.
Terrible.
They did go off the cliff together.
Yeah.
We got our first Challenge Mania mention in the Big Brother live feeds.
Yes, what they say.
It came very late at night. It's not something I went out of my way to share because I did feel kind of bad about it. And she also got my name wrong. But it was Bailey and Devon were talking. And I believe part of the conversation that either didn't air because they cut it off or the person who sent me the clip didn't share it sounded like they were talking about an issue that happened on the challenge that famously got someone removed from the challenge who, you know, had gotten into it with Bailey a little bit on social media. That cast member is no longer on the challenge. And they went and re-edited the whole season of the challenge from then out. And Bailey, of course, was asked to do a ton of interviews. She declined a lot of them, but she and my co-host Derek had already been kind of talking about it. And she agreed to do ours. She told Derek she did not want to talk about this issue. She did not tell me. Like the budding journalist that I am, I did kind of tiptoe into it. And my thought process was, I'll see if she brings it up. And if she does, I'll kind of ask follow-ups until she says, you know, shuts it down.
Yeah,
and then at the end of the podcast, like we always do, I say at the end, hey, we can cut out anything you want because we don't do it live like you do. So a lot of the times people will say stuff they didn't want to say or will bleed into spoiler territory. And we'll easily cut it out. So we left everything in. She thought it was fine. She said, hey, look, if I really thought you went too far, I would have stopped you. But apparently it really did upset her because during this clip in the live feeds, she's saying, well, what she's saying is I did one interview, Challenge Mania, shouts to Derek, by the way, who's the other guy? Mark. And then Devon, who knows me, also goes, yeah, I think it's Mark. And then she goes, shouts to Derek, by the way. So she kind of gave me the, and I think basically what happened was she ended up, she turned down all these big interviews, Us Weekly and Fox News, all stuff. And what these guys do, as I'm sure you
know, Fox News do a lot of challenge coverage.
They covered this. Yeah. They just pull the quotes from our interview and run it like they interviewed the person.
Yes.
They use it as a clickbaity thing. Bailey addresses the D thing, yada, yada. And all it, and really small, it says like taken from the Challenge Mania podcast. But it looked to her and probably to MTV like she went on this national press tour, which she actually said she wouldn't do. So that kind of is our fault. And I do feel bad about it and did feel bad about it. But that was the one time and the first time Challenge Mania has been mentioned. So it's a shame I let Mark co-host that day.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Yeah. Mark for everything.
What a flop. Do that. Yeah, because if I were you, I'd be like, yeah, that Mark guy, I'm glad he's gone. I can take over.
Mark we Long fired Mark.
Someone who Mark Long has been in the news a lot lately, too. He's like the original road ruler, and he's got this thing going on where he's trying to produce.
Mark?
Yeah, the guy looks like the singer from The Offspring. And so he is trying to do a thing called We Want OGs, and he started this big online movement where he started texting all these OG cast members, getting them to say they would do it, and then he posted all the text messages online, sort of breaking the unwritten rule, but this was for a good reason. Us Weekly picked it up, all these places picked it up, and now Buna Murray is actually developing this show with him. So Mark's been in the news a lot, sort of, you know, in tandem with us. We were selling the t-shirt for a while. I came up with the hashtag We Want OGs. So I get why they confuse my Scott, Mark. They're both like equally white names. So I just think, like, you know, whatever, you know. But that being said, it was convenient that she got my name wrong when she was obviously, you know, not obsessed with me. So I apologize to her for that. But we got mentioned on the live feeds. Hey.
Yeah, congratulations. And I like whenever Mark Long comes up, because that I'm much younger than he is. So I feel like that, hey.
Mark Long is someone who looks like he is. Frightening? What is it?
Freakishly handsome.
Freakishly handsome.
He is chiseled out of solid granite, that man, to this day.
That's incredible. Well, at least, like you said, at least the podcast got a shout out, and Derek got a shout out for you guys. So that's only going to be
good.
A lot
of love. He was the good cop. I was the bad cop in that scenario. And then,
no, Mark was the bad cop. You are right. Innocent.
I don't know what you're talking about. I wasn't.
Yeah,
there.
You weren't even totally. There. Yep. That's a horrible thing that Mark guy did.
Mark, I'm never letting you host the podcast again. See what happens.
You're out, Mark.
Ever.
Okay. Yeah. Mark was probably having a Twitter feud while he was podcasting that day also.
Basically.
Keep your eye on the ball, Mark. Yep. Okay. All right. So let me ask you a challenge-related question. One of our listeners, sure. Marietta, who says, if this cast was on a season of The Challenge, who does Scott think would reach the final? Who would be kicked out for fighting? Who would become an elimination beast but ultimately get cut? And who would carry the Anissa curse of being eliminated just before the final? Have you thought about this Big Brother All-Stars cast and how they would fare?
Well, so truth be told, every season since they started pulling Big Brother cast members, I do put a lot of thought into this. And we actually do, you know, Mark Long and I did a draft where we were tried to pick who we thought would come over from the past season and stuff. It seems like it's come to a screeching halt because the Big Brother 21 cast was such a train wreck. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't put too much thought into it with this season because it's more of a returnee all-star season. So these are people who have been on the table for the challenge to take since they originally played. That being said, you know, I think Cody is kind of tailor-made for the challenge, similar to how his brother is. I mean, his brother, you know, the Califiori genes have done very well in the challenge competition-wise.
Yeah.
Ollie came in, him and Natalie did not fare well initially.
Great
they went
genes.
Into a redemption house. They then went to the final and came
seeds,
in.
Baby.
He came in third place, I believe, on his first season, came back, was the last person eliminated before the final, his second season.
But isn't Cody too boring for the challenge, with all due respect?
Yeah, but I could have said the same thing about Fessy, Casey. You know, there's a lot of people who, when they appeared on Big Brother, I didn't necessarily say, oh, Casey, TV gold, sign her up, you know?
Let's go.
But then, you know, they translate a little bit better when they're around people that are sort of, you know, as competitive as them. There are, you know, as I said before, it comes down to a head-to-head this, right? So it's like, you know, whether you're throwing someone in or you're going against them, or, you know, I know he's married, but there's a lot of hooking up on the challenge. The conditions recently,
maybe Enzo should go on. Maybe Enzo.
Well, Enzo has Eric Nice energy. If you remember, Eric Nice was on the first season of Real World. He appeared on the first couple seasons of The Challenge. They are very similar. They kind of have the same, you know, like, I don't want to say old guy swagger, but sort of, you know, they have a very
elderly
swagger, you know, it's kind of like, wow, this person's definitely been around the block. Like, I can see that your face has been places, but you're still cooler than me, you know?
Right.
So I think that among this cast, you know, I did give it some thought. And I think, you know, Cody, I think, would do very well. Just physically, I think he would do very well. However, I think that the only chance of him doing it would probably be some sort of like a bloodline season with Pauly. I've thought a lot about David, because I think that David, you know, obviously having been on Big Brother 21, he's a newer cast member, and now this is sort of his coming out party. I'll be honest, like, he's someone coming into the season I really wanted to root for, and I really wanted to do well. But I just, like, to me, You find it hard to believe that a challenge producer would watch this show and say, give me that guy. He sort of possesses none of the kind of like killer instinct that you would want for the challenge. None of the controversial. I mean, unless he goes around doing the fake cry, you know, but he does
That's
sort
what
of
got
fit
him on
the
Big Brother.
you know, he does fit the mold as far as, you know, age and stuff like that. So that's always possible. But recently, I know this wasn't the question that was asked. I'd love to see Kemi on the challenge. I think that she's from a recent season that I really wanted to see her out there. I think there's still a chance. I do know that they kind of skipped over season 21, and I wouldn't be surprised if season 22 gets skipped over as well. But they do seem to go back further, because someone, and I don't know what kind of spoilers you want to do here, but I will say someone who is from an older season of Big Brother that was supposed to be on All Stars got the call to do the next season of the challenge.
So, yes, yes.
It's very interesting.
Okay.
Oh, and the Anissa thing. The Anissa thing. Anissa has been on almost 20 seasons of the challenge. Famously, Jesus. She always comes up just short. And it's hard to kind of assess. It's so situational who that could happen to. But when I look at this cast and like who I could potentially feel bad for in that regard, I look at maybe like a Kacer, someone who's, you know, veteran, very well liked. But you know, maybe
Kacer on the challenge, I think, would be interesting.
Yeah, but I mean, look, Anissa at this point has been playing for so long that you remember her in her younger days, but now Anissa has kind of a Kacer vibe out there, you know? Anissa's not the Anissa from the mid-2000s. Anissa is an elder statesman as well, so, and we love her.
Okay. Let me segue to something else that has become a new hit segment on The Slop, where last week on The Slop, we talked all about Christmas's dreams. Christmas has night terrors in the Big Brother house. Scott, did you know about this?
You know, it was brought to my attention literally today. It's one of those things where I'm a proponent of not sharing your dreams, because to me, if I have a dream or a nightmare and I don't tell a single person about it, I forget about it by 11 a.m. If I tell someone about it in detail, then it's with me forever and I remember telling them. So to me, the easiest way for her to stop these night terrors is stop documenting them. Stop telling them to people. Stop letting the internet jot them down. That can be a problem solver. But no, I would love to hear more.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Could you describe Christmas's dreams to us in excruciating detail?
Okay. All right. So let me bring you from last time out on The Slop. We talked about some of the night terrors that that Christmas had been having, and this was just real quick. Let me tell you some of them. I'll give you the shorter version. She was married to the actor Sam Elliott, and he was convinced that she was she told him not to spoil her in the relationship just because he has money. So there was some sort of a weird situation there with her and the actor Sam Elliott.
I'm googling Sam Elliott real quick.
If you saw A Star Is Born, he played Bradley Cooper's brother. No, he was in Tombstone.
He's an elder statesman. Yeah, in right.
Yes, he's a little older than the Oliphant.
Older than Oliphant?
Yeah.
He's older than Oliphant for sure. Yeah. He's in his 60s.
She has another dream about a cult where they're trying to take away her baby. A lot of her dreams
sound like a terror for sure.
Yes. A lot of her dreams involve somebody's trying to take away her kid.
Yeah, that sounds terrifying. The Sam Elliott sounds like a delight.
Yeah, that one was a happier one. Okay.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Wait a minute. So Sam Elliott is going to take away her child?
No, that was the happy dream. Sam, she was had a nice.
He's going to shower her with finances and gifts, I believe. Was that?
Oh, right? Okay.
Something about like she was felt guilty about him being a sugar daddy or something. That sounds like a delight. I mean, I would love to have that dream.
Yeah.
I wonder, does his wife, Catherine Ross, know anything about?
Well, it's a dream. She might not exist.
She might. Christmas has had problems with people's significant others ruining her relationships before.
Okay.
You know,
has that been reported? Has anybody done any research into that?
Allegedly, Christmas had some type of love triangle situation before, so I wouldn't be shocked if Catherine Ross popped up in her night terror. Maybe that's because
became a terror. Okay.
So last Christmas, someone gave her their heart, and the very next day she gave it away, or they gave it away.
I think it's the other way around.
The very next day she ran them down in the parking lot with an Oldsmobile.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's very the very next day. She collected the heart and then proceeded to...
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. All right. Sorry, there's a lot of the window open in the studio here today, Chappelle.
Somebody's jalopy just pulled up at your house.
Okay. All right. Latest Christmas night terror. This is from at Red Lightning BB. Does a great job chronicling the night terrors there over in the Big Brother house. This was last night. Picture it. Christmas was in her old childhood house. She refers to it as the S-word shack. Okay, this is a real place. She shared a bed with her sister. And there was a wood furnace for heat. In her dream, she was living there with a bunch of strangers. One of the strangers' kids tried to take Loyal away, and she was at work. She was trying to get to St. George Island, but it was flooding. It's gone.
That's the end of that.
Read like a novel, I'll be honest with you.
I thought it was a haiku. Just kind of ended. And it was flooding. The end.
Okay.
And she woke up in a cold sweat because she couldn't get to the shit shack.
I will say, at the risk of coming off like Pauly, it does sound like she does have an underlying fear. Probably what it translates into is that, she's scared of her kids getting taken away. I mean, she's been, gone from her kids for several weeks. That's probably what's, manifesting itself here. And I'll be honest, my history of dream education comes solely from the movie Inception. Mm-hmm. So, but that being said, to me, I put more stock in, and I'm interested in the other little subtle things, like the mm-hmm. other, like in the childhood home that she calls the you-know-what box and whatnot.
Shit
and,
box.
You know,
shit check.
And the thing about Sam Elliott, I wonder, I don't know as much about her personal life as you guys do, but why that would be perceived as a terror, the idea of having an older fatherly figure as your husband. I don't know.
And she sleeps in bed with her sister. Freudian psychology might say that suggests something.
Now, she sleep
hashtag
with her
Abbott Jeans.
Yeah. Don't let a rock star find out about this, by the way. But
is this normal?
In the dream, or did they grow up in such a small house that they had to, share a bed or whatever? Because it's just reminiscent.
Disgusting.
Rob,
could you read the transcription one more time? Now, be specific. She sleeps with her sister, or she's sleeping with her sister? Because that would be enough to wake me up out of my dream.
This is the dream. Okay, she's in her old childhood house, referred to mm-hmm. as the S Shack. She shared a bed with her sister, and there was mm-hmm. a wood furnace for heat. In her dream, she was living there with a bunch of strangers, a la, I guess, the Big Brother house. One of the strangers' kids tried to take Loyal away, but she was at work. She was trying to get to St. George Island, but it was flooding. Where's St. George Island?
No clue.
Not sure. I'm really not sure.
I was going to Google it, but I was still looking at the last guy.
And is St. George Island flooding?
Florida.
Or is the Shake Shack flooding? That's what I want to know.
The Shake Shack? Shake Shack sounds very pleasant. It doesn't sound like a place.
S-Jack. That's what I'm picturing is that she grew up in the Shake Shack.
It's the Shake Shack is a little place.
But also, I just want to know, the guy who's transcribing these, is he adding a little bit of color in the sense that, did she add while telling the story, and I was in my childhood home, it was called the Shake Shack, and it was so small that I used to have to sleep with my sister. We shared a bed, and there were all these people there. Or is in the dream?
Sounds like they were have-nots.
Yeah,
Scott, you were the way you painted that was very good, though. It was like a very vivid picture of if we were going to do the Christmas Abbott story, the movie, a Lifetime movie starring Cody Califiore,
because it's a holiday movie.
Because obviously it's called Christmas. And so we would start with Christmas in her childhood home, the Shit Shack in Florida, on her way to St. George Island during the flood. And then, of course, she run into Cody, who was her childhood crush from high school. But he's now the groundskeeper at the Shit Shack. And, she has to fight with wanting, love or a corporate life and going back home and living at the Shit Shack with her sister.
Yeah. Well, Chappelle, you really have this down, because that's always what the theme of the movie is do you want love or do you want the corporate life?
Right. Do you want to move on to a lucrative career as a influencer, or do you want to stay home and be with Cody and your shit shack with your sister?
I think the decision's been made for all these cast members that influencer is no longer in the
cards. That's number one. So it's not Christmas, though, that is having night terrors in the Big Brother house, that Hayden has chronicled some other nightmares from the Big Brother cast. Are you ready to hear some from David?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Listen to this. Okay.
Okay.
David, that he was on a double-decker plane with Kaser. they were heading to Dubai. The plane took off from the highway, and then the plane started flying vertical and flipped in the air.
That is literally Talk about a house flip.
Yeah.
That is like, I pictured Christopher Nolan directing that scene.
Liz Nolan.
Right. Liz
Nolan. Julia Nolan.
Directing that scene.
Who might get a little too close from time to time. Just kidding. I love them both.
Okay.
So that was that was a nightmare as well, or was that just like a cool dream?
You're in a plane that starts flying like vertically and upside down.
I do have a lot of, I guess you would call them night terrors. I'm an adult, so I just call everything dreams these days. But a lot of my kind of, wake me up startling things ends with me kind of like falling in the sky or something like that. Or, you know, I fall off a building, or again, like I'm in a plane that goes up or some of that. So I think that is dream theory would tell you there is something about that that's recurring in multiple people's dreams. The idea of like being in a falling something. And that is typically what wakes people up.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever had a dream about Kaser?
Not today.
Not today. Yeah. Okay. Me neither. Okay. David. Okay.
Here's another one from David. This was from just a couple days ago. David had a dream about the POV competition. The competition took place in a mall, but they had to go through the sewer to get there. In the dream, LeBron James was starring in a new movie. There was a long line in the mall to see the movie, and he says that he was playing a Marvel character. All right, Chappelle.
Did this come before or after his LeBron James reference on the show?
I think he's obsessed with LeBron. Okay, how about this? You buying LeBron starring in a Marvel movie?
I would like David eliminated from the game ASAP. I think that of the things that he's done this season, there have been some things that are quite frankly just, you know, from Big Brother standpoint, things that we can't just ignore. But this here, I don't ever want to hear about this again. Mm-hmm. I don't want it to come up on the feeds. I don't want to know about this made up dream that he just came up with. Like, why is your dream so vivid that you have all this going on and you can also tell you who's starring in the new LeBron film or the new Marvel film? Like, who else is in it? What's this man's name? Timothy, whomever Dr. Will is like. All of that. I was going to say Chalamet because I knew that's a person. But yeah, like, why are these people, like, is Cody Calafiore in the film as well? David, get out of the house. Mm-hmm. Go to jury. Make up with Davon and then go do the challenge. Maybe I just don't do the Big Brother thing anymore. We don't want to hear about it.
Not to talk strategy, but is David like, I know that David obviously and Kevin seem to be the, if this goes to form, the next two gone, but don't, when people start to decide to make moves here and maybe, you know, start to disassemble the committee. I mean, doesn't David have bring him to the end written all over him? Don't you think? And doesn't he then, if he gets to the end, have, he gets the votes written all over him?
Yeah.
I don't know if he has. No, stop, please. I don't know if he has.
He's taking that plane to Dubai and then whoops, going to flip all the way around.
Like, if David wins the season, we burn it down, right? Like, we let Josh make it because Paul was just horrible, right? So we let Josh have it. We're like, you know what? This isn't the person who we would have picked, but whatever. It's not Paul. It's okay. We could see the things that Paul... If David makes it to the end and wins this game, as much as I love diversity in reality TV, I might want to reconsider. I might start to vote the other way. because... I just don't understand how we could allow this. Like, I'm going full Davon. Like, David? David? No, listen.
I think Davon would vote for David over some people.
Well, she owes him a vote now. She owes him a vote. The way she went out there,
he alluded to it this week. I think Kevin would vote for him over some people. And I think that if enough people flip on each other and it ends up becoming Memphis versus David, I could see there being like enough bitter people where David wins and becomes like, probably not going to happen, but.
Right. Let us pray. Like, you know, like think back to All Stars 1, right? Erica Landon was one step away from winning the season. You know, like she was like second place, right?
Right.
So a world where she wins, which, in retrospect, maybe the winner that season shouldn't have won, right? Maybe maybe he didn't need any more fame or money. But let's say a world where she won. Wouldn't we all be looking at this season like, what? Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
And so this season has already looked at like, what? Really? Do you really want to add David the winner to this? And he goes on to be the person who, like, he came from the bottom. He was a rookie playing against all the winners. Like, the brawler he is, he navigated. You know, the narrative is going to change.
Yeah.
I don't like this.
Well, I don't. So what fascinates
like the
me
Miami
about him,
Heat going to knock off the Lakers.
Well, do you guys agree with this? So to me, what's so fascinating about David is that like over the course of a first season, most Big Brother cast members kind of their character comes out in that they learn what the diary room producers want out of them. And they kind of do their shtick and they can like walk you through the stuff that they're narrating in their shtick. David never got the chance to establish shtick in his first season. And here we are in an all-star season where you have Nicole and she's like full character. Davon is the best person ever on camera. Enzo is full Enzo. And then you go to David and he's still a blank canvas to me. It's like so interesting. It's almost like if you just plucked a person from obscurity and put them in this game and they kind of just, you know, can't get out of their own way, but there's just too many other people to take out first. It's almost fascinating to watch, even if it's not enjoyable.
Well, let's consider it's what happened, literally.
He's like a TV character on a show that is, it's season six and he's still around and they don't know what to do with him. And then he doesn't have any storylines or anything like that, but he's still in the main credits.
Yeah, they got to send him up the stairs like family matters and she just never comes back down. You know, like, hey, David, go to the have not room. Okay. And then like, next episode, like this season on Big Brother. Like, it just keeps going.
Who'd they do that with? The mom?
No, it was the sister.
One of the sisters, not Aunt Rachel.
No. One of the children. Julie, one of the children went upstairs. Judy, maybe Julie? Went upstairs and never came back downstairs.
Not Mother Winslow, right?
Right. No, not mother. No. She was good, but you sent Judy
not
upstairs.
Harriet. Definitely not Harriet. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, Harriet come down. Yeah, no, she was good. But you send David up the stairs and never let him come back down. I'd be okay with it.
All right, can't wait to hear the Everything is Super recap of the LeBron James Marvel movie from David's dream. Okay, Enzo, you ready for Enzo's dream?
Yeah.
Sadly. Enzo had a dream. He went on a field trip. The whole house took a school bus to McDonald's. Enzo's brother was there and tried passing him a note with game information written in code. Someone saw the note and got upset. They started yelling at each other in the middle of McDonald's.
This is not a dream. This is his way of cryptically addressing the wall yeller situations.
Yeah.
In my opinion. Right? Because isn't this a microcosm of that process?
Maybe.
Someone hands them a note, they cut the feeds, they reprimand, and then they move on.
Here's what I want to know. Okay. Look, is it normal for a dude to be giving notes to his brother in a McDonald's?
Disgusting.
I would say, is that it normal to be? Well, I mean, Rob, are you asking because you're bullying him, or are you asking because you
just
want to
know? I just want to know.
You're busy podcasting and you just couldn't take the time to Google it, huh? Okay, that's fine. That's fine. I like that Enzo's dream is post-COVID. Mm-hmm. Or pre-COVID, you know, because like the idea that a school bus of people walks into a McDonald's right now seems so foreign. With their mask on. I have questions, Enzo.
Field trips aren't coming back till 2023. I'll tell you that.
And I don't think they're coming back for 40-year-olds either. So maybe Enzo is dreaming a different type of dream. A dream of the past, a dream of yesteryear, you know, where grown individuals went on field trips. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. If we were still on the Calafiores, I would say there's an easy quarter pounder joke in there. But since we're not,
I'll
leave that be.
Scott, oh my Jesus, what's wrong with you?
Okay. All right. All right. Go. How about one Calafiore dream? One Calafiore dream. Cody's dream. Okay.
Oh, we don't want
to
hear that.
Listen to this. No, this is wild. Cody's dream is the wildest yet. Okay. All right. In Cody's dream, okay, he was drunk at a party and he decided to leave early. Before he left, Paulie is in the dream.
Oh, my God.
And Paulie handed him a flying broom. Okay. Now, is that normal?
Is that
I just want to know. For dudes out there,
is it flying broom
normal to give your brother a flying broom?
Disgusting.
A flying broom sounds like a Portuguese breakfast or some type of other euphemism. Please don't Google Portuguese breakfast.
I just want to know. Okay, so Paulie gives him a flying broom, but he can't figure out how to handle the flying broom correctly.
I'll tell you who's not going to like all this flying broom talk is Professor Trelawney.
Yeah, Angela Rockstar is going to.
Yeah, this isn't good. Hopefully, this. And I fear that this.
Real cute.
Yeah, Cody had to show. Paulie had to show Cody his Nimbus 3000 or his Firebolt.
Okay, so he can't figure out how to fly on the broom correctly. So then he wakes up.
He can't figure out how to handle the broom, Rob.
He can't handle the broom. You can't handle the broom.
Can't handle the broom.
He wakes up within the dream. This is the inception part. So in the dream, he wakes up still dreaming. He's two levels deep. Now he's one level deep. He's still in the dream. And now he's at a random house. And there's a group of mobsters chasing him.
Oh, this is a challenge tie-in to this.
Yes,
there's
why?
A mob on the challenge?
So famously, this is where Paulie might get a little upset with me. Hopefully he still has a good sense of humor about this.
What are the odds that he doesn't hear this?
He did. Oh, no, he's live streaming this for sure. 100%. Like, not even.
I'm a big fan, Paulie.
What's up, Paulie?
We all are.
But so famously, around the time of the Love Triangle saga that some of you may have read about from the Us Weeklies of the world.
Cody, Danielle, and Nicole.
And the broom.
Yeah.
With Paulie, Danielle, and Cara Maria.
Right.
Danielle who?
During this, Danielle from Bachelorette, Cara Maria from The Challenge, and Cody from Big Brother. So it's basically like that. What's the thing in Orlando? Reality Stars Unite. It's like that, but in a bedroom. What's it called? What's that
thing called?
Give Kids the World.
Reality. Right. So what happened was, like, during this time, there was a lot of he said, she said. There was a lot of texting back and forth. There was a lot of dishonesty on Paulie's part, telling Cara he's done with Danielle, telling Danielle he's done with Cara, and visiting people, not being where he says he is. One of the alibis he used was he had to go and deal with some mob business. There was something having to, you know, take care of some. I believe he was running from the mob, or he was. So people had a lot of fun with that. So, you know, I think take it for what you will, that it is being used both as a real life alibi, even if a fake one, and also popping up in the dream of his brother. That you know. I'll just say, I'll leave it there.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, when you said it was Florida, I thought you meant Harry Potter World.
Yeah, he was going to go to Universal. Yeah.
He's going to Harry Potter World because he's talking about his broomstick. He can't handle the broom.
Yeah. Okay. The Wizarding World. Yeah.
The Wizarding World of the California.
Well, I will say the Universal, right, it does get mobbed. So, but they mean with tourists.
Yeah. Okay. So Cody, mobsters are chasing him. He tries to escape through the window, but the window is really high up. He jumps anyway. He tries to use the broom to start it up, but he couldn't figure out how, and he fell to his death.
Well, you fall and you wake up, probably, right?
Then he woke up.
Here's the monster thing. Right? If you had a dream and people were chasing you, right? Mm-hmm. This is where I begin to, you know, worry about the real life situation. To have the context where you knew they were mobsters, right? Like, to me, unless I was picturing like Silvio and Tony Soprano from like a fictional mobster show, I would have no way of knowing that people chasing me were mobsters. Like, they might as well just be people who worked at Walgreens. They might as well be just, you know, angry podcast listeners. Yeah. I would have to like have had a previous scene where they were like, all right, make Jaeger an offer he can't refuse, for me to know that, unless I knew what mobsters looked like, or perhaps knew a few mobsters.
Just saying. I pictured the Anthill Mob. You know that cartoon where the little like mobsters are like, carrying that car? That's what I picture. When people say mobsters, I think of that cartoon that was in The Wacky Racist, and they carry the little. So he looked and he's like, oh, that's obviously a mob because it's that cartoon.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
And there are a lot of ants in the Big Brother house.
Exactly.
And he is HOH, which is on the second floor.
Aunt Rachel callback?
Aunt Kathy callback. But Scott brought up an interesting situation talking about how this would translate to reality. And I still want to know, like, if I'm a wizard and I think I could grab my broom and just fly through the window, like, at what point do you grab your wand and just, you know, use your other stick? At what point do you grab your wand?
Oh, boy.
You know, and
get out of this, Chappelle.
Flexible wand. Wait, okay, I thought we were talking about magic. We're not going to talk about it. Okay, so you grab the wand and then you wield it at the mobsters to keep them back. Mm-hmm. And then you can get through the window. So that way you don't have to worry about making the broom go.
I just
hope you can handle the big broom, you handle the smaller wand.
we know, or at least we've, it's been rumored how the wise guys infiltrated the NBA and the basket, the referees and the gambling and stuff like that. And I just really hope, I mean, can we just not,
is that what LeBron is doing in the Marvel movie, fighting the mob in the NBA?
It's possible. With a magic stick.
Yeah.
It's possible. And it's not that far-fetched. I mean, he's going to be in Space Jam. It's not that far-fetched that he could be in like the next Marvel, whatever, if he goes on to become a movie star. There's been weirder things. You know what I mean? But I'm just saying, you know, if the mob infiltrates Big Brother, we could have a real problem. Just saying.
Wow. Okay.
Okay. All right. That's an interesting dream, Cody.
Yes.
It's suggestive. Yeah. Let's go back to that Freudian psychology now. What we know about wielding a big stick. What do we think that Sigmund Freud would say about what that means for someone?
But he couldn't get it to work. He couldn't get it. So you think this is maybe a performance anxiety dream?
Okay, you know, somebody made a really bad joke about something happening. What was it? No, I won't say that. I don't want to get you canceled, Rob.
From Enzo's condition, what is it? Dry
desert?
Dong?
Yeah.
Maybe he's
desert
got
dong.
Maybe he's got desert dong, right?
Okay. That ashy dong.
All right. So thank you again to Hayden at Red Lightning BB for chronicling all of the dreams in the Big Brother house. So we have a whole dream diary of everything going on in the Big Brother house.
Thank you, Hayden.
Chappelle, I had a question for you. Shut up, right. Tim asked the question. Please discuss with Chappelle if candy corn would be a good food item to give to the have nots.
Candy corn?
Yes.
I don't know. I haven't actually met anybody who enjoys candy corn. From what I understand, candy corn is like looked at as a snack that people don't really like.
The Nickelback of candy.
How dare you?
But I like Nickelback, and I also don't hate candy corn, so I'm with you.
Well, okay. Well, I don't like Nickelback, but this candy corn is immaculate.
Chappelle, what do you have? The Costco size candy corn?
Costco could never.
Yes.
I got like more candy corn than you got Laffy Taffy. Listen, I'm not saying I love candy corn. Like I eat it year round, but tis the season, right?
It's Can you hold that up again? How big of a jar of candy corn do you have?
It's not that big. This is like a personal like day supply of candy corn. Like I'll be done with this in like an hour and a half.
I have never seen another human eating candy corn before.
Listen, I heard you can like make wings with candy corn now. You can glaze stuff. If you glaze something,
that's
with
what happened
corn,
to Dr. Will, isn't it?
Like Dr. Will.
Yeah,
exactly. He's like a walking candy corn. Oh my God, this is delicious. So yeah,
you can stack the kernels up and it looks like actually like a cob of corn.
And I've done it, so I can attest to that. But I just think like if we're ranking holiday treats, like holiday candies, I think candy corn is at the top of the heap. Now there's a peep contingency at the very bottom. This group this faction, this mob, some would say, of people who really like Easter peeps.
These are the people that chase Cody.
These are people who chase Cody. These are people who talk trash about candy corn. These people should be arrested immediately. So
I would gather, and I could be one of them. And but I like I said, I have become a candy corn sympathizer because I think they get an unfair shake. If I got a tiny bag of candy corn as a prize or something, I would eat it. No problem. You know, it's not something I'm going out and seeking, but I'm fine with it. Peeps, on the other hand, I really dislike. I'd have to be in a contest or something to eat like an entire thing of Peeps, even one. So I'm with you that candy corn definitely above Peeps.
Exactly.
As far as the holiday specific candy hierarchy here.
Someone challenged me and was like, well, no, candy corn is not the best holiday candy. And I was like, okay, well, what do you got? And their response was candy canes.
Cadbury eggs. What do you got to say about Cadbury eggs?
I almost vomited when you said Cadbury eggs. Yeah, oh my God.
Well, Cadbury eggs. Oh my God, really?
Stop saying that. Anyway, so
I would eat a candy corn before a Cadbury egg.
Why are you pressing?
You don't even need one? Yes, you do.
Scott, this is a classy podcast. Rob, hold on real quick. Let me talk to Scott. Scott, we don't take our journalism lightly here on the slop, okay? We don't just throw out words like Cadbury eggs like it's normal. Now, apologize to the listeners so we can move forward. What I was saying is candy canes like was the thing that people like projected was better than candy corn. And to that I say, they're just peppermints. You can get them anytime. They're just in a different shape. Grow up if you think that. And pay homage to the goat, candy corn. That's all I'm asking.
I don't like that people don't realize candy canes are I would imagine, a hard thing to look at or enjoy if you're someone who needs an actual cane in life. Like during the holidays, we're just, you know, giving them out, using them as decoration. Oh, here's a present. And guess what? A candy cane. I would be so annoyed if I was someone tethered to an actual cane that this is what you are using as a holiday tree. This is what keeps me afloat. This is my life.
It's not a toy, you're saying. Yeah.
Notice. You give it to somebody as a gift and only to find out that they are a paraplegic or something and they need it. That's a sick joke. You don't
give someone a candy wheelchair. That would be ridiculous. Right. And this is a similar vein.
A candy wheelchair ramp, a candy, handicap sign. Like, you don't want to do those things. That's insensitive. It's 2020. Grow up and eat candy corn.
Let's cancel the candy cane.
I'm fine with it.
What if it was just a stick?
I'm fine with it. It can go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Candy stick.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Or just eat regular peppermint. They already exist. Peppermint exists. They're around everywhere. I'm sure if I reach into my couch, I could pull out a peppermint right now. There's nothing fancy about candy cane. I think we should let it go.
You know what? The little peppermints, though, when you leave a restaurant, there's the bowl.
The choking hazard.
Maybe those were, they started workshopping the peppermint wheelchairs. They canceled it. They said it's too offensive, but they couldn't stop making the wheels. And that's what those circles are the wheels. And then we'll just have a surplus of those left over.
You know who else needs to be arrested? The people who eat the green peppermints. Those disgusting things, or even those soft ones. Oh my God, what kind of creep eats those soft peppermints? Oh no, that too.
No, you nibble the edge until you get it down to a little dime-sized thing, and you pop it in. Those are fantastic.
Yeah. Can't
eat more than one.
You can't eat more than one?
Yeah, I think that's actually better in the small size than like the giant one. The giant one is thinner,
and it's a little bit more egregious. You're right. The thicker, smaller one is the perfect serving size.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Listen. I can't see the chat, so I don't know. People are probably like burning me to a stake right now. But honestly, if I disrespected your favorite candy, like if you just really go up for peeps right now, I still think you should be arrested. But I think that maybe like some type of like rehabilitation, it'd be possible in one day that you could not be a creep. But that's fine. And like I said, I don't judge at all. So if you like peeps and if that's your bag, then I support that because I support love and kindness, as Julie would say.
Yeah. So, by the way, the chat has your back, Chappelle.
The chat has my back. They too don't like peeps.
I think they're on board with the at least anti Cadbury cream egg, candy cane.
Cadbury cream egg.
Yeah,
it's disgusting. Stop saying the words like "he who must not be named" is what we'll call those eggs.
Interesting. You know, but I will say that I use the Nickelback comparison because I think over the last few years it's been kind of become cliche to make fun of Nickelback, even if you've never heard a Nickelback song. And I think people have also gravitated towards making fun of candy corn and being annoyed with the presence of candy corn. And I don't think it deserves all that hate. It might not be your favorite. It's not what you're grabbing when you get the choice, but I don't think it needs that hate. And similarly, I don't think Nickelback deserves the hate either. I'm just going to say that's my hot take. Nickelback, pretty solid band from the great country of Canada, by the way. So
yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that does bump them up a notch. I like Canadians, you know. But I'm gonna stand in line of something, trying to
buy another something. It's not that. It's kind of worse, you know what I mean? It's not like the end of the world. Like the level of hate that they get is like, you know, this is the worst band.
Sorry. Right. You reminded me, when you're talking about Nickelback, and you reminded me of one other horrible thing that we have to look at. I have a clip of Christmas interacting with the live feed audience over on the Big Brother live feeds. Let's make that the last sloppy thing that we take a look at here today. Okay. Of course, you know, Christmas, that she has a finger on the pulse of the Big Brother audience. She knows that she's a highly popular character and she wants to interact with the Big Brother fan. So when she has an opportunity, she's going to do some performing for the Big Brother audience at home. She wants to entertain her fans over that are watching her on the live feed. So I thought that this would be fun if we could. Let's follow along with a little slice of life here with Christmas from the feeds. Okay, here she is. Chappelle, can you describe for the people who are listening to the podcast what is Christmas doing here?
Well, she looks particularly menacing right now, but she's squeezing the life out of a rubber duck. She's kind of giving like some type of, it's a, like a dance. Now she looks like she's itching, but she's, and then she playfully like leads us into the other room with like a Christmas, like with like promises of Christmas joy, I guess.
Yeah.
But she does look particularly menacing.
yeah.
Yeah.
And Scott, that I feel like that she is used to dealing with a baby. I feel like she treats the audience like a baby. Like she has some like a like little duck in her hand, and she's just like waving it in our face, like that's gonna like catch our attention.
Yeah.
Among like nonverbal communication, I don't know that anyone's ever conveyed less. Like, what does she tell? I like, I don't know. Is that sort of calling out her next person she's going to come for? Oh, they better duck because I'm going to swing, but yeah. I don't want to miss. Which is, I think, is a cliche coming. That was used five times a season. You could swing, but don't miss. Okay. So right. Maybe she's saying they better duck.
Maybe.
Maybe she's saying, I'm going to quack you up. I don't know what she's doing, but it is clear. I am enamored with what you mentioned, Rob, is that she clearly has no idea how much everyone hates her.
Or what people want. Yeah.
That's great. And it's adorable because it's funny that you live in this bubble and you forget that people don't get to, you know, they get to send the tweets. They don't get to read them. And they don't really have any idea of how they're being perceived. And she has become, over the course of this season, I think I remember the first season, her getting a lot of flack for not doing a lot. And I know that she was on the scooter and stuff. But I don't remember the vitriol this season. And I think it's like part of it.
To
is
her or
really,
from her?
Towards Christmas. I think people were just kind of bored by her, thought she was kind of dragged to the end and not very enamored with her gameplay. But I don't remember people disliking her audience wise. And now this season, particularly around the time that she just like blew up at Davon and we got that great close up of her at the kitchen table. I mean, she is like, I think, the villain of the season to the people at home. And just watching this clip, it is clear she has no idea
at all.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Chappelle, she has some more for us. All right. Let's see if you can give us a little bit more of the David Attenborough of what's going on here with Christmas.
Gotcha.
Do you want to have some dinner?
Okay. She's dancing and teasing us with dinner, with promises of dinner. She's dancing a jig from what it seems. Now she's kind of like pee-popping a little bit.
Why is she asking us if we want some dinner? She's not cooking.
Dinner?
She's not in the kitchen. She has no food.
What is she? Is this a euphemism? What is she insinuating? Grab your duck and come into the bedroom. So Kristen's got some dinner for you. Some din-din.
Is it some of that desert?
So that desert.
Dessert? Dessert.
That dessert. Yeah. Maybe Enzo's in the wrong room. Him and Christmas are both single. Why haven't they, Listen.
I think Christmas is spoken for. I think she has somebody at home.
Oh, she's spoken for. Okay. Well, that does. Maybe that's who she's teasing. Like, this is a moment between her and her significant other. Like, she's like, oh, I got that duck. You're like, you know, and maybe they do duck play where she's from. Maybe dress up like a duck, like some furries or ducks aren't really furry. Maybe like some oilies. Feathery.
She knows about ducking.
Whether Christmas ever comes back or not, I do think they should make an effort to cast someone who has a name that comes into play as often as hers does when it comes to the just like very easy to access puns. I mean, I've never heard someone show, in podcast, in life, that it's just impossible to talk about her without making some dumb Christmas reference. And so if we don't see her again, which we might not after this, just, you know, bring in like someone, Valentine, or, you know, bring in someone like that to supplement the ease at which we have fun with her name.
Yeah.
What would be the next person we cast? So we got Valentine as an option. We already have Christmas. Well,
yeah. If you have Easter, then you have a lot of Cadbury cream talk.
She's like, want some Cadbury cream? And she's doing her jig. Like, come on, get some din din. That's the.
Okay. But hold on. So there's more here with Christmas. Okay. She says she just started dancing. She's got a duck. Want some dinner? Do you want some dinner?
Want some dinner?
And they're probably going to say, stop singing.
Nobody told her
to stop singing. They're not going to tell you to stop singing a fake song.
Psychedelic.
She's got a jacket.
Ooh. She's got a Technicolor Dreamcoat on. Okay. All right. Yes. Okay, Christmas giving us looks, poses, and
no idea.
She's... She's dancing. What brought this on? Like, what is the?
I don't know.
What she's sewing. That's why her middle name is Joy, because she can exude such happiness like this, and it's so genuine. Oh, and there's sound effects. She takes out the jacket. You know, like a comic book character. Like,
that reminded me of like LeBron Joaquin in that Phoenix. Movie.
Joaquin Phoenix strolling down the steps in Joker with the.
Oh my God. Yes. And he was dancing, okay? Right.
I think if I had to just put my psychologist hat on, Christmas, I'd imagine, is one of these people who, you know, she's so physically fit. She works out so much. She's got so much muscle mass that she's got to eat a lot, right? And she's probably got a certain amount of calories she has to get in per day. She's probably very regimented. And she's probably in her head, like counting down the time to where she can have this big meal. And I think it sounds like she's talking to us, but I think she's like talking to the left side of her brain, and reminding her we're a few minutes away from eating. And it is so exciting to her that she put on like a, what's the movie on HBO with Michael Douglas, but Liberace. She puts on a Liberace style jacket and starts dancing around because that is how happy she is that she's going to eat like three turkey breasts. So,
well, she better be careful with what she eats. From what I understand, some of the house guests have been getting hemorrhoids from eating too much slop. So maybe she's dancing because she hasn't gotten hit by the hemorrhoid monster yet. She can still sit down and use the bidet effectively.
You get food? Hemorrhoids? Wow, really?
Well, they you get it from...
Enzo, you have hemorrhoids.
You have hemorrhoids.
You get it from exerting force in spaces that don't, you know, that you shouldn't force things from. And apparently slop makes you do that. They have a bidet. I'm sure it's soothing to certain hemorrhoids.
That's a spritz of water.
Yeah, hit it with the spritz and maybe it won't be. But Enzo famously, he's the one with the hemorrhoid, right? And he's not pro bidet.
He's got a lot of conditions. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I maybe she's dancing because she doesn't have hemorrhoids. I too would dance. You know what? I'm going to dance when we get off of there because I don't have hemorrhoids either. So
that
go
could
Christmas.
Be her dancing because she has hemorrhoids. That might be a side effect, right?
That would explain why she was so stiff, because her bottom half, her upper half was doing a lot, but her bottom half wasn't moving at all. Maybe she can't. She's not as limber anymore because that hemorrhoid keeps things kind of tight.
Okay. All right, Scott, anything else you want to touch on from Big Brother 22?
No, this was a lot of fun. It's fun. I mentioned it. It's like, you know, this season has been a little bit frustrating to watch, especially as I think I speak for a lot of the internet when I say that a lot of our favorite people have gone one after another. I think it was Matt Liguori tweeted something today that it's been very boring in the sense that like everything's sort of been decided by, you know, Monday, and that like all the gameplay from Monday to Thursday has pretty much been a wash. And then of course, if you're someone who follows the live feeds and you sort of know what's going to happen, you have to watch these three episodes of a TV show where it's like just watching the bad stuff you knew was going to happen, but in slow motion. So I think it was fun just, you know, kind of, you know, picking away at some of the lighthearted things that are happening on the show, in the show's periphery, with the, you know, with the rock star stuff and the Pauly stuff, the dreams and stuff like that. So when the old adage, a boy can dream, maybe this season can kind of, you know, dig itself out of the gutter. Who knows? But I had fun for 2 hours pretending it was a good season.
Well, thank you, Scott. It's great to have you here. Of course, where can people check out more of what you're doing in the Challenge Mania podcast?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll tell people.
With you and Derek and not Mark.
Yes, with Derek and not Mark, although Mark, you know, coincidentally was with us on Saturday. We did our Hall of Fame induction. He inducted The Miz, who was nice enough to come and wear a tuxedo to be inducted in the Hall of Fame. You can hear his whole speech on the podcast we dropped today. I'll tell people, like I tell them in real life when I'm at a park with my son and they're like, oh, you do a podcast, I'll check it out. And I'm like, you don't have to unless you watch The Challenge. But if you guys do watch The Challenge, I think you'd enjoy it. If not, you can cherry pick the Big Brother cast members that we've had on. We've had them who have been on The Challenge, and we've had some that don't even play on The Challenge. They just like The Challenge. We've had Cliff Hogg, I believe Nicole, who's been evicted this season and is a big Challenge fan as well. She's going to be coming on soon. We've had Brett. We've had your cohort, Stephen Fishback, has come on in the past. So there's a lot of stuff in the ChallengeManiaPodcast.com archives for anybody, whether you like The Challenge or just reality TV in general. And I'm sure you can figure out where to follow me if you're you know, watching this on Twitter. But I'm at Shot of Jaeger on Twitter, and my Instagram is a disgrace. So don't worry about that.
Yeah, I got to start watching The Challenge just to listen to Challenge podcasts.
Yeah, well, right. That's it's the reverse. Trust me, I've had the people there are so polite that they're like, "Oh no, no worry, I'm gonna watch the challenge so I can listen to your podcast." I'm like, "That is so not like no, you don't need to do that. Like, I would never do that for any job that you had, unless you worked in a diner. I might come and eat at the diner, but like, no way, I would like you know develop a hobby just to have small talk with you at the park." So, but no, I think you should watch it because I think it'd be one of those things where you know I know you're not like a big wrestling fan, Rob, but something you did at the beginning of quarantine. I don't know what brought it on. Maybe it was boredom. You guys did like a WrestleMania preview, which was very fun to hear you talk about wrestling because you're sort of in that middle ground where, I mean, I'm sure you know who Bam Bam Bigelow is, but you don't know really who you're previewing for the next WrestleMania. And I think it would be fun to watch you maybe get out there with an Ali or a Matt or somebody from your podcasting network or Brian who could really walk you through it and get your first impressions of some of these people. Because
I would love
the
Festies
and the Casey's and the Swaggies and stuff.
But. The problem was with this last challenge season was that they launched it right at the same time as Survivor 40, so if they could somehow like not have it on, and look, they've got no problem on the Survivor side.
We made sure we figured it out. We said Survivor, don't come back for an entire year, and then maybe the challenge can have some runway here because the challenge is filming now. I imagine they're not going to, you know, it'll probably
cherish
be
it,
ready
Scott.
To air. Well, they're not going to run it like when they're done. They have it. Okay, guys, it's the day before Thanksgiving. Let's premiere it. They'll probably sit on it until February or something. But that does sadly still sound like it's going to beat Survivor by a mile. So, hey, welcome. We welcome you guys. Just like a lot of Challenge fans, I think, have been watching Big Brother 22 because it fills that gap in the schedule. Maybe the next season of the Challenge 36 can be your re-debut back into the fold.
Okay.
Cool.
All right. And Chappelle is getting ready to watch his Ravens take on the Chiefs tonight. Where is that game? Is it in Baltimore or Kansas City?
I believe it's in Baltimore. Okay. But I have to check. I haven't been, since I don't leave the house, I assume nobody else does. So I assume they're playing in someone's living room or in a bubble.
Playing on Zoom.
Right. So it could be either one, honestly. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. Chappelle, you were just with us on Robin Akiva Need a Podcast. I hear you are going to be on the B&B this week also.
I am. I'm very excited. As you know, I'm a big Mike Bloom
super fan.
And I love Liana as well. And so I'm very excited to talk to them too.
Okay.
It's going to be a great week for me.
Chappelle is the king of Twitter also.
Don't ever listen to anything Akiva's ever said ever. I thank him for saying that, but no, me and my 2,000 followers are not the king of anything.
Yes.
But I do have something I want to plug.
Yes.
I know that people are invited to join the women of RJP and Anna for a supermajority text bank party on October the 3rd from 4 to 6 p.m. And I think that link it's been tweeted out. And so hopefully I'll probably retweet it. And so if you follow me on Twitter, maybe go and retweet that so other people can go and get into that content that those people are going to be delivering. I believe Mari and Liana and Lita are all going to be voices from RHAP. Chantel as well, talking about reality TV as far as where women are concerned and in other aspects as well. So that's my plug today.
Okay. Live on Saturday.
Oh, and on that note, I just want to add, Rob, you know, I know I told you this privately. I think I tweeted about it. But while I'm on your show, I just want to reiterate, you know, everything through, you know, from Survivor Season 39, I think obviously was, as I mentioned, a masterclass in kind of really honing in and figuring out responsible ways to cover this stuff and talk about it. And then everything just going on in the real world with, of course, quarantine and then obviously Black Lives Matter and stuff like that. And just to see how you have, you know, covered these shows, talked about them so responsibly, the guests you've had on, the way you just like reinvigorated the talent pool of your staff and all the people that you brought in this current season and stuff like that. So just kudos to you. You're an inspiration, my friend. We obviously do everything we do on a much smaller level, but to see the professionalism and the level of care that you put into this stuff is really, it's great stuff. So I aspire to be as well put together as you are, my friend.
Yeah, thank you very much, Scott. I really appreciate you saying that. And it's always a pleasure to have you here with us and Lindsay the Otter, with us on any of the podcasts.
She's here in spirit. There's an otter behind me, so that'll be Lindsay.
Yes.
I'll walk in and she'll be texting incessantly. Who are you texting? She's like, I'm in a group chat with the other judges.
Oh boy. Oh no. Those bitches are conspiring against me.
Bitches do be conspiring.
Yeah.
Bitches do be conspiring.
All right. So thank you everybody who slogged through the slop with us here today. You are the true fans. You are the real ride or dies to watch 2 hours and 10 minutes of the slop. But we appreciate it. Thank you for having fun with us. We will be back LFC Roundtable coming up on Tuesday night, earlier time on Tuesday, and then we'll be back live after the episode on Wednesday. We'll see what Timothy Oliphant or Dr. Will has up his sleeve in the veto competition, and then we'll see the triple eviction coming up on Thursday. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.